It is 1899, the turn of the 20th century. 23 years after the extraordinary British scientist Phileas Fogg went around the world in 80 days, he now seeks to better his own feet, to travel to any seven destinations on the planet, no matter how far within the year. Fogg will then justifiably become the head of the Royal Academy of Science. There's just one small problem. Phileas Fogg is a cad, a philanderer, a murderer, and a monster. Only a small group of dashing heroes know the truth, and only they can stop him in an adventurous race around the world. Sugar-Fueled Gamers, in association with RPGMP3.com, presents The World's Most Wondrous Year, a Savage Worlds pulp adventure. A small word of warning. This game is played at a table with a baby and a toddler. Expect a little bit of crying and some periodic toddler commentary throughout the podcast, but that dies off about 30 minutes to an hour in when we put the kids to bed. Thanks for your patience. Episode 25.
Alright, so we are trying to get to South America.
Yes.
Gonna punch some crocodiles.
Having escaped New York, you are basically trying to leave.
What? Escaped New York?
Yeah. Well, you are trying to escape ahead of the media blitz, leaving Fogg to hog the limelight, essentially.
We gave away to Snake Plissken as we yell out the door.
At which point, tick, you gain a success marker. As Fogg is basically delayed behind you, pontificating at great lengths about how stunningly awesome he is.
He's weighed down by his ego.
Yep. Phileas Fogg, hero of New York.
Juka, supply me with a baby.
Baby.
Put the flying baby on the floor?
Yep. I will supervise his cat and drinkies. Here you are, Bubbins.
Okay, so then
how do we go south?
You are heading towards the red lady bits. So you are presently in New York, on the coast of America, and you are heading down to the Amazon River.
Yes.
Thereby, I should actually look at the notes I've written instead of just trying to make this up spontaneously. But look at what I made it up for earlier. Okay, so you have a couple of picks for different routes style of thing. You can take the sea route, which takes you shipwise out of New York, down through the Caribbean, and down to the Amazon rainforest, essentially.
Yeah.
Whereupon you need to change from a proper ship to some sort of more river crafty thing to actually get down the river. You can go overland, which takes you through sort of the heartland of America, then down through New Orleans, down through Mexico, down to New Orleans for starters, then either across the Gulf of Mexico or around it by land, going through Mexico and the Yucatan. So
it's good now,
Doctor Strange.
Good. Yeah, good job blowing on.
You will be meeting
money bags.
A Dr. Amelia Hunt.
Yeah.
And can you give me your pick of streetwise or academics? You know her. I'm about to tell you how.
Okay, it doesn't matter. I'm calling it D6 either.
Yeah, but which one are you doing?
Go academics. It's cool.
Yeah, okay. Academics seems more my character. I've got a 6 there.
10.
Okay. So
I know stuff.
You taught her.
Maybe.
That is in fact exactly true.
Oh, really? I am senpai.
She is a quote unquote younger woman, being in her sort of 40s style of thing. So you taught her when you were a young woman.
You
have basically kept in periodic contact with her since. You would certainly consider her a friend. Albeit because of the sort of jobs that the two of you have, you're forever on opposite sides of the world looking up bizarre ruins and cults and that kind of thing.
That's what telegrams are for.
Yeah, so she is an academic. She is an archaeologist and an anthropologist by trade. She is certainly a believer in the mystic and the occult, albeit she doesn't have, you know, your level of training in it.
She'd be hard pressed being friends with me and not believing in the cult.
And she is a very militantly disciplined woman. She is. Her entire life has been very much a solo act. Very early on, she had some of her research stolen in a thing that would seem familiar to Jonathan. It wasn't linked to Fogg directly.
It probably was.
And it's made her somewhat isolationist, and she works almost entirely on her own. Entirely in far-flung regions. It's one of those things where, you know, she might, at some point, she will just fall off the grid and die and no one will ever know.
Sure,
based on where she goes and what she does. At the moment, she is living in a village named Belon in the Amazon. And she has made her name primarily exploring South America, the tribal groups, the jungle, the creatures and culture down there.
Yeah.
And you know that recently, and when I say recently, I mean for the last couple of years, she has been researching.
Do you want some assistance on my lap again, Sydney?
She has been researching something that she calls the Lost Tribe of Kilquato, who are supposedly a lost tribe in the Amazon, which is not unheard of when you stretch the imagination. Lost tribes of Pulp Universe have forever been turned up. Dr. Amelia Hunt.
I'm just sad that there's not anacondas here for us to fight.
And she is a big, strong, very Amazonian woman. If you'll excuse the fun.
Lost tribe of
Kilquato. It's spelled for you if you desire.
Maybe it's phonetic.
K-I-L-L-Q-U-A-T-O?
Yeah, close enough. Yeah, you're actually almost dead right. It's one L instead of two. But
okay. Other than that,
you're dead
right. Nice to see his belly.
I think at this point we're probably getting bedtime for people's.
Not everybody thinks I'm a crazy cat lady. Although she probably still thinks I'm a crazy cat lady.
Do you want to say goodnight?
You're her kind of crazy cat
lady.
Do you want to say goodnight to everyone?
Good night,
Sally. So does anyone want to try the lemon chocolate?
No. Oh, wow. After the stunning advertisement of...
The mango one was actually vaguely interesting.
The mango one was kind of nice, but I wouldn't have it again, whereas I haven't tried the lime one, so...
Looks like it's white chocolate.
Well, once you've tried it, you won't try it again.
I just thought, like, mango and
if
chocolate...
If only because there's only one there.
I get, but lemon and chocolate, and sour and sweet.
Mm-hmm. Sweet and sour is a combination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's sour and... That sweet, like with nothing
cow. In any case, South Africa, South America.
Yeah, South America, yeah, Mexico.
Just listening for little grizzling people. So yes.
So what are the upsides and downsides of the various routes?
So, as the crow flies, the quickest one is through the Caribbean. Downside being pretty much all shipping goes through the Caribbean, where. As we know, there are totally pirates going yo-ho-ho. It's the Caribbean. It is basically a string of islands. There are literal, you know, Jolly Roger flying pirates there.
Mara wants to go that way. Oh, man, that was good.
The Gulf of Mexico is also quite a short, direct route. Which you take by boat. The
there somewhere, but
possibly kids next door. It's I can't hear it in the hall. I'm in here, so it's presumably not ours.
And then the land route is theoretically longer as long as you don't get delayed by anything anywhere down here. Anywhere on the sea route style of thing. That will take you through New Orleans, which is a lovely party city. It will take you through Mexico, which is largely uninteresting because it's vastly smaller than America in the pulp universe. And the Yucatan is a small jungle country that you can pass from one end to the other, basically.
I'm meaning to give it a go.
Well, I like the idea of anything that doesn't make us go through too many waters, because going through Germany was pretty hardcore.
I say we risk the pirates.
Well, I have to admit, my inclination lies with the Caribbean route because it sounds like the most interesting. But practicalities-wise, I think taking a boat down the Amazon and either the land route to that point, the land route to the Gulf of Mexico and then crossing the Gulf of Mexico, or sailing right round is the smart money. Mm. I don't reckon go all the way down by land.
Mm.
So we could take the land route from here to here and then cross the Gulf of Mexico by boat and take another boat downriver. Or we could take a cruise all the way down there and then take a boat downriver.
I think the Gulf of Mexico and then a boat. Yep. That's the quickest.
Yep, go with the quickest.
Alright, so land route down to
New Orleans
and then a boat across the Gulf of Mexico.
Where you are heading to, incidentally, is this chunk of the Amazon is sort of in the more Brazilian bits. The region you are heading to is not heavily populated at all, and it is called Morte Lenta, which, for those of you who speak Portuguese, means the slow death.
I was going to say, Morte sounds like death.
Yeah. The region is called the slow death.
Lovely.
There's a reason no one lives there. It's very inhospitable.
Yep.
Or at least the reason there's no, you know, major Rio de Janeiro-style cities there.
And
this is where next tests his speeches. That's the slow death, right?
Do you, Nick or fog?
They're pretty interchangeable at this point.
Yeah.
They're really not.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Now, if you gave Fog 40 levels in Wizard, what do you think he'd do with it?
I think he'd be worse than Nick if he had 40 levels in Wizard.
Yeah,
there's
no,
have you seen my extraordinary pectoral muscles? You will, over and over and over
see,
again as you walk around my demi-plane of permanent images.
See, the thing is, you know, Nex is pretty darn annoying, but Fog is more annoying and has way less power. Fog's worse.
I love Nex in...
if we were walking around a fog demi-plane, we'd all have been forced to kill ourselves. It was because we couldn't wait long to escape.
The trick is, it wasn't going to be that bad as when I was looking through it originally. It was just when I started playing it that Nex got worse and worse every time he appeared.
Oh my god.
My goodness, a Jared NPC that was annoying. We won't know how to cope with that one.
Fog is Arnold Rimmer with the charisma score.
The next campaign we're going to be playing, the villain will be the bastard child of Nex and Phileas Fogg.
Poor
yeah,
girl. Enough epic level magic can make it happen.
Yeah. Okay, so we are driving to New Orleans.
Okay.
Unless there's a train. Is there a train?
There is, in fact, a train.
Cool, well then let's catch the train.
Because you are passing through the heartland of America, which is, you know, as Pete would perceive it... a thriving community of a variety of fascinating states, each with their own unique identities. You know, small, good old small town charm.
Yep.
Mum's apple pie.
He has completed construction projects in many of them, and one of them will, of course, be Pittsburgh.
Just as the source of your power.
Yeah.
To some other people, it's a blank, you know, corn-filled wasteland.
The children of the corn are in there somewhere.
People, including most of the residents.
Yeah, well, you know, you pass from Kansas to Omaha to Wyoming without ever really noticing.
Do we see a spaceship fall from the sky?
There's a difference between them. So
it'd be a good trick to pass from Kansas to other places, given we're going south.
Hey, considering how quickly they could get from Kansas to Metropolis.
True.
Yeah, but that's because they, after a few years, they realised it was impractical and opened the interdimensional portal. You leave Smallville driving to the interdimensional portal, it takes 3 hours off the track.
In any case, this route will actually take you through Kansas City, which is a fairly famous train hub dating back to Western times.
Cool.
Because you're not basically taking one continuous train, New York to New Orleans.
Yep.
As we know from our Ticket to Ride map, you have to go down through Kansas City.
Yep.
Then little,
and then
lead
up towards Canada, depending on how annoying.
Then because Fogg's built out the other train line, you have to drive around Canada, then back through Miami.
You should be feeling so lucky that you don't have to explain tomorrow why, you know, a farmer's community as the Crows as their football team.
And you get there.
Enough with the Kansas jokes.
You spend the night at one of the nice hotels in Kansas City, and when you get up in the morning, there seems to be a bit of a hubbub happening below you. You're on the top floor penthouse room of the hotel with Doctor Strange, of course.
Yeah.
Look out the edge, and there seems to be a bit of a hubbub, a lot of crowd gathered around.
We will. Well, I will certainly go down and see what's going on. I imagine the others will join us.
It's him! Ah! Go all the girls.
I think they're here to see you.
Go all the flash bottle.
I'm not that famous.
And of course, the crier is stand. The guy with the kid with the newspapers is standing by the corner of the hotel. Fogg's famous race moves into next stage. Round the world trip approaching an end. You know. Will Phileas Fogg become Minister of Science?
Head of the Centurions. No, it's...
Will Phileas Fogg become the head of the Royal Academy of Science?
You forgot to say extra real about it.
There appears to be a bit of a media circus going on. And Pete, you get, is it true that... You know, is it true that you've met the Phileas Fogg? Is it true that you're running weeks behind him? etc. It would appear from what you're looking at that the media is now actually getting quite excited about the story. They were excited when you started, less so in the middle, because then it's just kind of a thing that's happening in the background.
Yeah.
However, you are now, you know, approaching the downward slide, that you've passed the halfway point.
Yeah.
And so the media is getting excited about it, particularly in Kansas, where they have absolutely nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
And so they will accost Pete and start trying to get exclusive interviews with, you know, the Smallville Times,
yeah,
the Daily Bugle, and that sort of thing.
All right, so it's not just you doing it.
Hey, if there's a story, Chloe's going to be there.
All right, well, I think... Pete will play along to it, like, for a short period of time in terms of answering some questions right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have... But we'll then explain that we do have a race to, you know, get underway.
They appear to be rather excited about the fact that Phileas Fogg personally stopped a bunch of America-hating terrorists in New York.
Yeah.
Well, continuing on with his great around-the-world adventure race.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. They want to know your thoughts about it.
Yep.
And where you'll be heading and that sort of thing.
Yep.
So, your hotel is presently mobbed. You can do a couple of different things here. You can actually give the media interviews and try and parlay them and pacify them in that fashion.
Yeah.
Or you can try and sneak out past them.
Yep. How long are we talking for the interviews?
It's several hours, but, you know, nothing serious.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, given the media have actually tracked us down, it might be worth doing, particularly if people other than me are prepared to talk to the media.
Yep.
I mean, I'm happy to talk to the media, but I don't want to be like the only one.
Yeah, they want to talk to everyone separately. There's a bunch of different profile pieces and that sort of thing. And, you know, is it true, Dr. Hannah, that you were once arrested in Egypt for assaulting a military base? And we heard you threw a giant mummy at Cairo.
All right, so yeah, I think we can play along.
Okay.
We can endeavour to scrape back a tiny margin of reputation to get Phileas's ridiculous advantage.
The other thing I was thinking of is if we play our cards right, then maybe Phileas may, if we can, we might be able to give Phileas's reputation something that he needs to stop and fix.
Well, I think that's very... I think that's very unlikely because we... massively outclassed by him in the PR stakes, but I think if it's a success scoring mechanic, scoring any successes will certainly improve our stats versus skipping the whole thing again and scoring none.
So,
does anyone want this mango one?
So, it is basically like doing those celebrity media interviews that they do for movies style of thing. You talk to 40 different journalists, but you talk to each one of them for 10 minutes style of thing, and the next guy comes in. This is actually really quite draining. By the time you're on interview number 20, you're starting to struggle to remember what you've said to who about what style of thing. And it will probably occur to people after the fact here that given the media circus that is developing through the heartland of America... it might not be a good idea to all of the media are invested in, you know, where are you going next, you know, how are you getting there, will you be racing on one of the new auto gyros style of thing, you know, will you be buying another personal yacht, we heard you drive a carriage across Transylvania, is that true style of thing. And it will probably occur to you after the fact that the more the media knows about exactly what you're doing, A, the easier it is for Fogg to find out, and B, the more likely it is you'll encounter a similar circus in the next town you go to.
Yeah.
However, the question is how long you can go around with the media answering their questions in a way that is interesting but not particularly revealing before your brain just drains out of your ears altogether and you die of brain failure.
Yeah.
So, for starters, before we get here, it has now been a couple of days, so everyone gets a recovery period if anyone is still injured.
Many people are.
And thank goodness, because I need it for the social wound.
Yep.
And Jonathan. Oh, nope. you're all better, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, oh, right, you'd finally recovered from your pincer wounds. You don't just rub it off, you make a check to see if you rub it off.
So your social wounds are cured by...
Spirit?
I think it's empathy. Just give me a second to look this up. A while since we did natural healing. Spirit rolls every few days.
Okay, spirit. Nice.
I didn't pass that one. But how many rolls do I get?
What? Just the last stage.
Oh, so I still got
a couple of days.
Well, you can spend a fate point if you want.
You don't have any.
You can have fate points.
Thank you. You first.
Yay!
We didn't bring
him
anything,
sing
out.
Oh, no, just my kids.
How do you have five?
Because I had four. I had three.
Have
I used one. I went up to four, went, okay. Or I had four, went, used one, went back up to four, and then I got an extra one.
Yes, but what did you get the extra one for?
Probably trying to dodge his, you know, girlfriend.
You should be up again now anyway.
Yeah, we're all refreshed. I just don't understand how Jonathan...
I keep not using them.
Oh, right, so you've had five
you
since forever.
You don't refresh down.
Right, yeah.
And you need more to...
I rolled a set.
No. Refreshing. Have more fate points.
Ah, good point.
Yeah, you've got six, not two. It's only a little different.
I know, green...
Yep.
Yeah, and you've got a white which you could spend on succeeding instead of failing on that spirit check.
No, because she's only rolled a two.
She rolled a three on the one dice.
Yeah,
to get rid of a wound.
Oh, right, yes.
Giving her a
minus
one.
Yeah, okay, never mind then.
You can spend the green one and just succeed. Huh?
Yeah.
Up to you.
That's
not a great draw.
Okay. So, having done that, We then come to, you're all giving these interviews to a mass of media. This is essentially the opposite of gathering information. It is disseminating information correctly, therefore it is streetwise.
No!
I will not be here. I will have snuck out the back and be fixing us our transport.
Sorry, I obviously missed a step. So you people aren't talking to the media?
We are. Apparently Jonathan isn't, which he didn't mention before. So
okay.
There's news to all of us.
In that case, roll me stealth, Jonathan.
Yeah, you have to sneak past the...
Yep, this would have been, last level would have been a good time to take it. It's minus two, so you fail.
Yeah. At which
so
point
you can spend one of those fate points and make it a four and succeed, if you like.
Sure.
Yep.
You're a ninja. Okay, so streetwise.
And because I'm in America,
yes.
I don't take a minus two.
Correct.
I got seven.
Same here.
I got 10. This is not actually my first round on the media service. Good, not four.
Does getting a raise give us much? Or?
Not really, no.
Okay, so seven.
So, Dr. Hanna gets slathered in the media. He has refused... Even sneaking out, you get the odd one or two people going, what do you think of this? No comment style thing. So Dr. Hanna has refused to comment on, you know, appearances that he assaulted Egypt. Dr. Hanna has refused to comment on his connection to, you know, French woman scene in New York style thing.
Scandal.
Etc. But for the largest part, you get away with this. And you do slip the media circus?
Yep.
And basically, you know, give them their interviews. Give, like, they know you're going to the Amazon.
Yeah.
But that's about the extent of it.
We managed not to confirm our route.
And thus project, you know, jungle adventures, Dr. Hanna to be eaten by piranhas.
Why Dr. Hanna?
Because the press loves
him. He's got shifty eyes.
Yeah, and he doesn't get good press.
You could say Amanda's strange because she's the slow one.
Yeah, but she's spunky.
Spunky
grandma.
That's my husband.
No, spunky is a girl thing.
Okay.
And then you head down through the heartland. This media circus, much depleted because you've given out what they consider to be useful information. There's enough of a story they don't need to hunt you down anymore.
Sweet.
You do the odd one or two interviews with local radio stations style thing on the way through. And the little red line moves down south. And then projects out in New Orleans, y'all.
We have to get a jazz festival while we're here.
Everyone knows that there's only one thing that happens in New Orleans.
It's Mardi Gras.
It's Mardi Gras!
Does Mardi Gras just happen year-long?
No, it starts every time someone walks into town.
You get off the train, and there are a bunch of people in elaborate flamingo masks with feathers pointed everywhere... that grab the first person to come out of the
that'd be Mara, come on,
that would be Jonathan.
Of course it's Jonathan.
Grab Jonathan and put him out. Come on, it's Mardi Gras. Hey,
oh, I thought they were going to kiss him. I thought the girls were going to kiss him.
No, we've been told Jonathan's not into that sort of thing. Linked with sexy French agent. Not linked with sexy French agent. What does this mean? Okay, so there is the fabulous Mardi Gras happening.
Nice.
And this is certainly distracting. For one thing, New Orleans has kind of come to a halt while the party happens.
Mm-hmm.
Mardi Gras, of course, as everyone here doubtlessly knows, the famous party with everyone in masks up till all hours of the night, dancing, partying, etc. You are going to have to spend at least a day here sorting out your next method of transport, whatever that may be. But basically because services aren't all shut per se, but it's incredibly hard to get people's attention.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Secondly, there is an incredibly noisy, incredibly exciting, world's wildest party going on just out there.
Mara wants in.
For anyone who doesn't want to join the party, you have two options again.
Because basically everyone that meets you will ask you how you're enjoying Mardi Gras, try and sell you a mask, drag you out into the street for dancing, take you off to drink, whatever's appropriate given your rate, your gender, age and station style thing. So you can try and dodge them all, which is a stealth check, or you can try and resist the urge and basically get dragged off very loosely until you can extract yourself as quickly as possible and not get sucked into the Mardi Gras. So it is your choice of stealth or spirit checks at -4.
Okay, what if you're okay with doing a little bit of partying?
Well, then you can simply fail them.
Okay.
Party.
Nice. I party.
Yeah, I mean,
chase after Mara.
I'll keep an eye on Mara and sort of loosely party. I've never been to Louisiana before.
Yeah. What about the other two of you?
I'm partying. You're freaking kidding me. I'm trying
to make it down to the docks, but I don't have a problem with partying.
We're partying.
Yep, so we don't need to make checks, we just embrace partying. We'll make checks if we need to actually successfully organise transport while partying.
You're partying.
I think it's important at this time to declare what mask everyone's wearing.
Obviously.
And I think we should start with Mara. Because Mara's the cutest.
What kind of mask do I wear?
Anything. I'm going to go with a kitten mask.
That's what I wanted. Because that's cute.
Exactly. Devil mask for you?
Nope, just plain black.
Yeah, me too. The guys are boring.
No.
Peacock? Kitty?
Why pig? Why peacock?
Is that, like, pretty and kind of dignified?
But that's the men.
It is.
Yeah,
female
it is. Cock.
Are white.
But no, brown.
Swan?
No.
Brown.
Well, you can tell women wear peacock masks. They're not only... Just because a peacock is a guy...
I want a swan mask.
Peacock mask.
Could
go cat as well, of course.
To match my husband.
Yeah.
You already have a kitten around.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea of picking up the extravagance on behalf of my husband. He never dresses up anyway. So I have to pick up the slack. I probably get myself something really extravagant, like a peacock mask with actual peacock feathers, because I've got money.
Yeah.
And I probably have like an outfit to match it as well.
Cool.
Because when I party hard. I may be an old lady, but I'm not a cripple. So I can do.
And Mardi Gras is fabulous.
Oh, and I give a little mask for Tom.
What about a mouse mask?
mouse mask.
I want to be a human.
A human? Can they get the sugar skulls or something?
Yeah.
Can do a little sugar skull.
Little mask.
Little sugar skull mask.
Terrifying black cat of death.
I make sure to take plenty of photos.
Man, how many rolls of film are we going to go through? I know it's a camera-based adventure.
Yeah,
it's going to be like, so you took your 7 photos, yes. Where are they? There's 67. There's 800 photos in this cave.
And you party.
The 7 you want are in there somewhere.
You party hearty to the greatest party on earth. It is just days of debauchery, essentially.
Yeah.
Everything you could sort of want in a party, regardless of what it is here. There's lots of dancing, drinking, attractive people.
Yeah.
Candy.
So much candy.
Weird back alleys, lots of mystic connections, the voodoo of New Orleans.
Oh, yes, you're gone.
Handsome Cajun man, y'all.
Who were you insinuating with that?
Jonathan, anybody who likes Cajuns. And who wouldn't? They sound like gambling.
So, we do actually want to, enjoy the party for a day and then leave.
Of course you do.
Right.
Then everyone give me spirit checks at -2.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it's quite easy because we embrace the
party. Let me know if you roll
any
ones on the spirit dies.
Yay!
I made the check and I didn't roll
the spirit dice.
Well
done.
We rolled the exact thing.
Oh, I maxed out both of them.
Well, keep rolling.
So that was 12, 17. Oh, sorry, -2.
Yeah.
Minus two, so 15.
So, knowing your propensity to party hardy, Doctor Strange, you have left strict instructions at the hotel that, you know, you are to be wakened at such and such time to meet with such and such people.
I know I'm going to have a bad hope in the
morning. Wait, I failed my check.
Yeah, we've same thing, so.
Because it's a minus two.
Yeah.
I super failed.
All right.
Am I the responsible one?
Yes. Apparently. Well, I mean, I was going to re-roll, but it doesn't seem much... Or make Mara re-roll, but it doesn't seem much point if everyone's failed.
Nowadays, they don't build them like they used to.
And so the work all falls to Doctor Strange to organise everything. And, you know, what essentially we see here is the montage of she goes and grabs Jonathan and drags him out of the air by a path, drags him out of the air out of a bar style thing, takes him back to the hotel, you know, tells him off, then looks out the window and Pete's going by.
Is he the conga line?
Yes, very much so.
Is he the head of a conga line?
Yeah, because they like me on the front because I can get through the streets.
What I might do with that one is I might intercept in the middle of the Congo line and make the Congo line divert in the direction of the hotel.
Yeah, but by the time you get back there, it's a different Congo line and Pete's on it.
No, I'll split the Congo line. So it's just a Congo line of us two, and I'm Congoing you back to the hotel.
And you don't realise until you're actually in the lobby.
Yeah, you're all like, wait, how did I get back here?
And then, of course, there's Mara, who's just buried beneath a mountain of fruit-flavoured candy.
I'd probably leave you a Hansel and Gretel retrail.
No, I think at this point she's pretty much comatose, so you're going to have to get, you know...
You picked a carrier.
Yeah,
Mara, somewhere in your elaborate sugar rush, you have gone into one of these back-alley shops full of bones and chicken feet and all of that kind of thing.
Nice.
You would approve.
And high on sugar have gone and bouncing up and down, you know, asking for candy, looking around everything, and smash goes something off the shelf and breaks.
Oh, and Mara.
The old woman behind the counter with a skull mask rises up and shouts at you and shouts, "Where's my Louisiana bloody New Orleans accent?" "Y'all be welcome to New Orleans. New Orleans, there we are. How dare you come into the shop of Mama Shango and break my precious crystal ball? Be cursed upon you! Cursed! Cursed! The voodoo spirits will haunt you forever! Cursed!" And maybe it's something she's actually doing. Maybe it's the dust that's trickling out of the snow globe-y style thing that you broke down the back of your neck. You're now sort of sneezing in and coughing and that. But something feels a little off. Can you make me another spirit check?
Any penalty?
No. This is arcane resistance, if that is of any relevance to you.
Pass.
Okay. And you do feel that you have been a little voodoo cursed. You feel...
A little.
You've been voodooed in your voodoo.
It's really hard to tell whether it's an actual voodoo curse or just the sugar rush running down.
I think it's 90% sugar rush.
But basically, for the duration of the next scene, you are effectively fatigued.
Ah.
So it could have been worse. Because
success with a raise is none, and failure is more than the same.
So what does that mean in this system, being fatigued?
You take a fatigue level.
Okay. So I'll just put a little star next to it.
Yeah, you could theoretically be killed by sufficient amounts of voodoo cursing.
You can just cross the line off, because the point is the fatigue levels aren't like other levels,
but
they recover faster.
Yeah, but...
Group failure on that one, to extract yourself from the party that you put yourselves into, Doctor Strange. It is about a week before Mardi Gras shuts down and everyone gets going.
That's brutal.
Damn.
Oh, shit. So I wasn't able to get everyone out?
No, not with all of us failing.
It's group checks, so it's majority pass or fail.
Oh, shit.
So I'm so glad we left early.
Group picks up two failure markers. You do, however... get this green chip in here.
Because we were being interesting.
Yep. It is, however, the last one that I have. So.
We're going to start spinning them.
Still, I think it was worth it.
Two failures.
Yeah, but we had one success for free, so.
Yeah, but that's. Our failures are now much closer to equaling our successes. And
Doctor Strange, you then. You finally, as Mardi Gras starts to shut down, you finally extract everyone out of this.
Wow.
You guys have been working hard, you've had a lot of stress on your mind.
Yeah, Pete's girlfriend.
What have I been doing for the last week?
Well, I think probably, like, after you realized, after you spent like a day trying to extract us all only to lose us all again, you were like, well, damn it, I want a party too.
Everyone else is doing it. And of course, you finally get all three of them back in the room only to realize Tom slipped off to party, so it's how are we going to get him?
Don't want to get cooked up in some burger.
No, he's partying with the tuxedo cat.
Cat burgers! Get your cat burgers! Fresh and fluffy.
Girl comes back with all this red powder all stuck to him and yellow powder and... Don't they do the powder and stuff?
No, that's
America?
India.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the festival of colours.
In all fairness, if we had tried to resist the party, it was going to be like spirit checks at -4.
Or
stealth
to avoid people.
Yeah.
Which you're trained in.
Yeah,
which would probably be better than your spirit of -4.
Yeah.
I could have had a chance, and Mara could have had a chance.
No, this is what Mara wants.
No chance to avoid.
She'd read about Mardi Gras in the books.
The good news, however, is everyone gets another heal. Everyone gets another recovery period. If your wounds are mental, social, rather than physical, you get a +2 to your empathy roll here. Because you are seriously relaxing, effectively.
Okay, I better do it this time.
+2, remember.
Doesn't matter, it's not enough.
If you throw in a white.
Well, +2 is 3, but -1 because I've got a social wound.
So that makes 4,
which
that's
is
a success.
With the white?
No, just
by human math, 3 + 2 = 5.
Oh, hang on, I've got a 3 here, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right,
you're
already
looking at
the
one on the screen.
Yeah, no.
So you're good?
Yep.
Okay.
Clear enough, Susan. Be free!
You've recovered from hanging out with Gaston Lavar.
All
it took was a million guys with French accents.
Oh, no, these guys have Cajun accents. It's
quite
different.
It's the Mexicans that saved me.
They're kind of sexy French as opposed to French.
Well, it's not French. It's closer to Italian, isn't it?
No.
It's French ancestry.
Okay.
Think Gambit from the old X-Men animated series.
Yeah, New Orleans is totally
Rogue mushery.
Oh, no.
Gambit is always going to take the risk.
Be careful, I have my husband in my arms.
Like I said, Gambit is always going
to take the risk. Well, the woman he was chasing after was Rogue, the person could kill you with a touch.
Yep. Fortuitously, if you crit fumble these recovery checks, incidentally, you get worse rather than better.
Yeah.
Which is literally, you party so hard that your brain is just fried in an effort to fix you.
Something that would be unlikely.
Or rather than curing your social wound from the Frenchman, you actually start dreaming about him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I could totally see the physical wound. If we go out dancing, you sprain a hip. Oh, God.
Sprain a hip. Shit, that's something I could do.
Okay. And then you are...
Finally.
...heading out of New Orleans.
Yep.
At which point, you have a couple of choices. When you go around actually looking at this, Doctor Strange... as the person who was actually doing this, with your bajillion raises, can you give me a streetwise check at a +3?
Streetwise.
This is basically the fruits of your organisation, what you have discovered.
8.
Nice.
Okay.
So I've got no minuses now.
Yay! So, you've got 3 major options to get out of New Orleans. You can boat round and go through the Caribbean again, which is, for the most, kind of redundantly pointless. You can go around the long way. However, you've been calling people up, reading books in the library on the regions you're going through, talking to locals about what they think, all that kind of thing. And so you discover bits and pieces.
Yeah.
With your success with the raise, so you've got 3 routes: Caribbean, crossing by Gulf of Mexico by water, or going round Mexico, Yucatan by land.
I had 2 raises, didn't I?
No, one raise.
One by my count was an
6.
8.
I was 15 or something. I rolled.
No,
that was on your spirit check.
Yeah,
which gave you a +3.
Which gave you a +3 bonus.
Oh,
to your
streetwise,
which gave you.
I'm up for the play. 8.
Okay, so Caribbean, Gulf of Mexico, Yucatan.
pick two of them and you will get information, and then pick one of them and I will give you the actual meta version of what you're looking at.
Okay.
So we want the land route in the Gulf of Mexico because we already decided no Caribbean.
Mm. Yep, so those two for the first level.
Yep, and then the second level is I will give you the actual matter of going through here, you will face a check of blah.
Let's go with the water route for that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Gulf of Mexico is theoretically quite crossable. It is a relatively calm water mass. However, there is one thing. There is almost no actual shipping going through there. There are pleasure boats and pleasure yachts that you could acquire. There are pleasure boats... Sorry.
Rebooting GM.
Disconnect. Reboot GM. Let me start with the other one. Good time. Okay. So, going through Mexico... is just a matter of getting motorized transport, generally speaking, and driving across regions and regions of desert. The Yucatan, on the other hand, does not have a lot of roads. It has a lot of sinkholes in it, which, if you don't know what a sinkhole is, they're essentially gigantic, basically caverns going vertically style of thing, crisscrossed all over the landscape. They're not terribly hard to get around in any way, but they are an obstacle.
They'll slow us down.
And alternately, across the Gulf of Mexico, new rebooted GM, the ships going that way, there are pleasure yachts going around the outer coast, which is not terribly efficient, and they're simply not up to doing that sort of length in a yacht kind of thing across directly. There are oil tankers going across. Because that's about what the industry is here. It's all the people drilling in the Gulf of Mexico for oil. A thing that can only end well. So, whilst
as
you
long as we don't live in British York, we'll be fine.
Whilst officially you couldn't get an oil tanker, you could theoretically talk or bribe your way onto one.
Yeah.
Like, with persuasion or resources checks, basically. However, an oil tanker is going to be quite slow, no matter which way you slice it. It's just a big, heavy, slow ship.
Yeah.
However, you do find this one guy
who
has another idea.
Okay.
And you meet this... You are basically sitting in the bar in New Orleans talking to this guy who tells you all about how he works down on the oil pipelines and that sort of thing. He's in maintenance in the oil pipelines, and he explains to you that what they have are effectively these giant pipes that go all the way underwater across the Gulf of Mexico and then out the other side again.
This doesn't sound good.
Ordinarily, of course, you know, they pump oil through them. However, periodically they do shut them down for maintenance. And what the maintenance involves is... A vehicle which is essentially a gigantic bullet.
Oh my god.
We must do this.
That, oh my god.
That people go in and it's covered in scrubbers and all this kind of thing and they are shot at extreme speeds through the pipeline.
We must do this.
Normally the maintenance guys only do short distances. And this is a good time because your contact here, this maintenance guy, tells you that the pipeline isn't currently producing a lot because. There's a lot of debate amongst the companies as to whether oil was a good idea and if cars are actually going to be the future, you know, or if horses are going to catch back on again style of thing.
I have a good feeling about cars.
Yeah, so does he, but for the moment they actually have a couple of spare pipelines that are, you know, completely shut down, so there's no chance of getting drowned or burned alive in a crap load of oil.
That's good.
There's nearly all the other perils.
Like getting stuck.
What he suggests is this is actually pretty safe on the whole because there are no obstacles in the pipe. You're just going from one end to the other as fast as you humanly can. However, he does suggest that many of the engineers, even of the short hop, have suggested this is quite painful. You are going at heavy speeds. There's just enough distance because the pipe has to have, you know, half a meter of scrubbers around, so the bullet is constantly vibrating up and down and up and down and up and down like this. You come out the end feeling like your teeth have been rattled, People have on rare occasions actually broken arms and things doing this.
It sounds like just the thing for a 70-year-old.
It is essentially a string of basically direct damage checks against your toughness. There is
no problem for you.
Because
we can't just send me four times.
Because you are being strapped in a bullet, there is not really a lot you can do to alleviate that.
Yeah.
I.e., you know, curling up in a ball isn't necessarily going to help you, so these sort of more athletics-y agility checks aren't really going to do much. If people have creative arguments, I'm always open to them, of course.
I have a creative argument.
But that's basically what you're looking at here. It is by far and away the fastest route. It is also one that will involve making a lot of toughness checks.
My idea, I get stoned off my nut and I'm so relaxed that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll work great
yeah.
until you get to the other end.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that thing where you get really drunk and then you wake up the next day and you find a huge ass bruise on your leg and you can't remember hitting anything? You're like,
yeah,
oh god, my leg,
it hurts.
Susan's actually hurt her hand for like a year doing that.
The thing is when you're drunk, you're relaxed. So when you're hitting things, it's not going to hurt your back and stuff like that. So that's what I was thinking for me, because I'm an elderly lady.
Yeah.
And I have a back
I think could that potentially provide her with like a plus one or something?
I think it will just help you not notice.
Okay.
Keep in mind the shift to plus ones and that tend to actually be quite big.
Yeah, true.
What if we knock ourselves out completely?
Then you have absolutely no control over what happens to you.
And tie us and get tied to things.
Well, the thing is, you're already strapped in seats with seatbelts in it, essentially, because they are designed to be used like this. Maintenance guys go in them, essentially, to ensure if it breaks, you're not just forever stuck with the fucking thing in the pipe. Somebody knows what's actually happened to it. It's got radios back to HQ and all that sort of thing, so you're certainly not going to starve and die down there.
Not always a plus. What about bringing up, like, padding? Some kind of a skill check to
make
better padding than the stuff that's already there.
So there's already stuff built in for exactly this purpose. You could endeavour to...
upgrade it?
Yeah, upgrade it, thank you, that's the word. But it would be moderately difficult.
Yeah,
I'm happy with that.
Because you're not taking and you're not building a system onto something that doesn't exist. You're trying to take something that other people have already tried to engineer for maximum comfort and then make it maximum comfort war.
Yeah,
we can do it.
How
we
long
have
is the
resources.
This will literally run you about 6 hours from one side of the Gulf of Mexico to the other.
So it's not as if you can put a piece of fabric in your mouth to stop it from chattering.
No, but that's phenomenal. That's versus days,
days
by boat, and you know probably longer by land, depending on how you get on.
I say we do it. I mean, if we can survive a zeppelin, we can survive this.
I think we should. It'd be a great way to make up the time we've lost. But it's easy for me to say I'm the big tough one. I'm a bit worried about taking you two and the.
Yeah, of course.
I want to be.
Pete, you're always running that risk of the dice explodes 23 times.
Yeah, I'm aware. But you know, Pete's never been seriously injured by anything.
I want to be like the.
How many bullets are there?
You'll all be going in one, essentially.
Okay.
There are others, but there's no point sending people, unless you have some incentive to send different people in different ones.
No. I was just wondering if we're all going to be in the same one.
Yeah.
When we get to the other side, would we then have the opportunity to medicalize ourselves? Our time wouldn't be up?
Correct, because you're essentially sustaining the damage as you go.
Yeah, so we could. So even if we get... If we take a bunch of wounds, we could conceivably still patch ourselves up when we get fast. Well, it's a pulp game. You can't die.
If I survive as in KO survive.
You will, however, probably lose that opportunity if you are KO'd in there.
Yeah.
I say we go for it. I want to be faster than a speeding bullet, just like the guy in the funnies.
Certainly going to look good on the TV.
Which, if you start going and looking at this seriously, the guy will produce a bunch of liability forms to suggest that you were doing this of your own free will. You know, he opposes it violently in every way, but will absolutely take your money to make it happen.
Is there any hoodoo that might be able to help protect us a little bit?
Any what?
Hoodoo.
Magic.
Yeah.
Well, if you
had
a spell...
We're in New Orleans here.
Oh, you want to buy some magic?
Yeah.
I don't think it works that
way. I definitely don't think it works that way.
If you had spells that might work like this, that would be one thing.
What spells do you have?
Beast
I have,
strength.
I have Drain Power
Armor
points,
would be another one that comes
strength.
To mind.
Or Boost.
Oh, yeah, true.
So I can banish things, and I can drain the power points of the thing as it's flying along.
Yeah,
that's
don't do that.
I can bring some friends along.
This is not actually mad science, this is actual science.
Yes.
But
so you probably can't drain the power points, but we'd appreciate you not trying.
Yeah.
So
in case it turns out that our new buddy, the engineer, is a little bit crazy and has built some mad science enhancements onto this thing, which you then depower and it blows up.
The other thing is I've got a kitty cat.
Yep.
He's getting no balance.
Is he going to be alright?
Well, given that he's the side NPC, we're not tracking his wound levels and
okay.
all that sort of thing.
As long as
so,
he's by default.
So,
okay.
No, he's not. He's almost certainly not going to enjoy it. He may very well be knocked out.
Oh.
He'll lose one of his nine lives.
Well, the thing
I assume that you will actually, you know, get a separate padded cat cage and strap it in as best you can.
Yeah.
Because, unsurprisingly, the device hasn't been designed to fit cats in.
Yeah, but with a padded cat cage, cats are flexible. He'll probably make it through better than us. And from a meta standpoint, he doesn't take direct damage, so he'll be okay.
Unless you want to tell me that he won't be okay.
No.
No.
I'll be very upset if my husband's injured.
Yeah, no. So Tom will be okay, it's just the rest of us.
Yeah.
Well,
basically, if you're up for this, that's what we want to know, is if you're up for this, because you're the other man.
Amanda's up for it. I'm
yeah.
just kind of a little bit concerned. I'd like to give her a little bit more protection than she's got.
Yeah, well, we'll do our best with the repair checks and see what we can do.
Yep.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it is.
What's your
opinion? Safe.
It's still a D4 plus one.
Okay.
But
I'll buy the guy a drink and as a thank you for the offer.
Yep. Yeah, he's a bit drunk when he's suggesting this. We might not be suggesting it in the first place. He's like, yeah, you know, call me. We'll strap you in something and send you at 900 miles an hour across the Gulf of Mexico.
The
Woo!
Newspapers are going to love
Mardi Gras!
This.
Yeah.
When they hear what we did to get to... to get to Africa, they're going to be like, yeah.
Well, I bet Fogg wouldn't do this. So.
Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Fogg probably wouldn't get derailed by the week-long Mardi Gras party, so, you know, yeah.
Are you kidding it? If they made it about him, of course they would.
Yeah. Why would Phileas Fogg ever go somewhere where they wanted to wear a mask? Why cover up perfection?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's next? Are we making repair checks to see if we can pad this thing?
Hell yeah.
Well, I want to find out if we are.
That's up to you. Assuming you're going for this.
Yeah.
Yep.
You go and meet with this guy. You know, he will actually want some money, which you can pretty trivially pay
yeah.
for some service. It's not actually going to cost him an exceptional amount, so you're not paying thousands of pounds or anything here.
I am super glad you decided to play a resources character for this adventure.
There's
yeah.
money being involved. Okay.
Essentially, your resources is high enough that you just pass this check.
Yeah.
This is what you take out of your
couch.
Yeah.
He will want you to basically sign a bunch of lengthy forms, which, when you read them, suggest that, you know, BP oil will not be held accountable
for
death, maiming, dismemberment.
You're my guardian for this, right?
Yeah.
It's your fault if I die, right?
Damage to pipeline that destroys the Gulf of Mexico, etc., etc. Now you know why they got away with it.
Yeah.
A famous English lady signed this thing.
Yeah, she signed everyone's life away for the rest of eternity. Now no one can be happy ever again.
I'm envisaging as we shoot past, you know, that we detour into a temporary stopping point, and Pete says, that gasket looks loose and tightens it. 100 years later, the Gulf of Mexico is fine.
Yeah, that's totally how it works.
Yeah. I know, I'm just amusing myself.
Somewhere in there, Dr. Moreau appears, and he's like, Pete, you have to tighten this widget. The Gulf of Mexico is doomed.
I think my character's probably going to take some marijuana before she goes anyway. Just to calm herself down with the idea of doing this.
Give some to Tom, yeah. That'll help.
Shockingly enough, you find some in New Orleans.
Really?
What about catnip for Tom?
No, that'll make him high.
That's the idea.
Yeah, that's
it.
Oh,
takes
no,
you
oh,
like
no, it,
six
does, it, does, it makes some the jizz.
Yeah. It takes you like 6 whole minutes to find, you know, marijuana.
I probably find it during the Mardi Gras and buy it there.
Yeah, don't distract us. I got this. To treat me while we go through the... Right, that's why you had it.
I probably have some of it
That's why you had it for a week and 2 of them are smoked.
Well, to be fair, I think this is a couple of decades before the war on drugs, so you can take it for medicinal purposes.
Well, that's
also
what I mean,
Mexico hasn't been totally fucked up yet.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing it. I wouldn't have suggested this if there was a big war on drugs and it was illegal and stuff. No, back then, this kind of stuff was just totally normal.
Hell, at this point, you could probably take opium.
Yeah, you could get opium prescribed to you by a doctor. Just go in and tell him you're a woman and he'll prescribe it like that.
Oh, that's right, hysteria.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my husband, who's a cat, thinks I might be prone to hysteria. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Have some opium.
Does anyone else want some?
Tell him
apparently I'm the dealer.
Tell him you've got lady for
a while. Yeah, he'll just give it to you without asking what they have.
I don't want to know, take it.
Lady problems, what sort? Well, I'm about to enter this giant bullet. That sounds phallic.
Oh god,
there's this new doctor called Freud.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. She had a shoe with
Freud
all fucked up psychiatry for the next 100 years.
They're going to shoot that on it.
This is why Freud was all, this is why, at the, you know, age 3, women decide their husbands are cats.
Because of Freud.
They're going to shoot me across the Gulf of Mexico on a bullet. I'll survive, I hope.
There's a song in there somewhere.
Shooting across Mexico on the magic bullet, riding high on the midnight bullet.
So yeah,
extremely
high.
As you guys are preparing the bullet, I'm going to be getting myself doped up, preparing myself emotionally.
I would have won this race, but then I got high.
Then I went to Mardi Gras. And then I got high.
Yeah, it's going to be really embarrassing if the world ends because we went to Mardi Gras.
Well, the good news is you won't have to worry about it.
Well, Mardi Gras is over now, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's how we made it out of the
No, you did actually leave before it ended. It's just rounding down.
Right, okay.
Because it being Pulp Mardi Gras, it's not about a specific string of dates. It kind of starts at whatever arbitrary point the heroes wander into town and goes on for a while.
I think the only way to avoid Mardi Gras in New Orleans is to enter, do Mardi Gras, leave, and then enter again. Try and trick.
Sounds like some sort of computer error, like
you're
doing an error.
Do a logic error.
If you go into Mardi Gras,
that's like how
times,
you walk into
the fourth time
when you
crashes.
Walk into the capital at Skyrim, in the city in Skyrim, they're always executing the guy just as you get there.
I know one thing you can do, Dr. Strange.
Oh, shit.
Not strictly related to this. If Mara is filling you in on her voodoo curse style of thing, you can endeavour to get rid of it, because this is actually one of the rituals you can do with the occult skill.
Okay.
That's what I forgot to do.
Yeah,
I forgot to get a t-shirt that said, I went to Mardi Gras and all I got was this voodoo curse.
You should totally buy that t-shirt.
They'd probably be selling that.
So it's a lengthier casting time than just snap,
that,
but
they're probably selling it at the store. You got cursed.
Okay, so I need to roll.
She makes you buy the t-shirt as well as cursed.
You need to roll an occult check. An occult check at -2.
Those damn voodoo.
Well, that was a good start.
13 -2 is 11.
Doctor Strange will. Put together this,
D-juju.
Put together this little ritual with shrunken monkey heads all around you.
Oh, that's troubling.
This time I've got the opium for this one. I need the good shit.
Yep, it's just you have a little of this opium, and that gets rid of the sugar rush. As your voodoo curse is killed.
This is the early 20th century. Children can have opium.
Oh, it's really good, couldn't they?
They sold it in children's nerve tonic style of thing. This will relax your child.
It's
like, bit.
And they had freaking, what was it, marijuana and cough syrup or something?
Yep, cocaine and Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
That's the one.
like, that's yeah.
And we think it's addictive now.
Whereas now we just prescribe our children Ritalin and then give them Prozac when they become older, which is much safer.
And yeah. Really. No one will look at us in the future and go, why would they feed kids all those drugs?
Why did they put corn syrup in everything?
No, in all fairness, I think they'll be able to know why.
Trump.
Well, no, he'll
get blamed for it.
Yeah.
Or depending on how well he goes, Obama.
They've been growing too much corn in Iowa since the Great Depression, practically. That's how we wound up with high fructose corn syrup and everything Americans eat.
But Trump is our fog. He's American fog.
Okay. So, you were taken down to see this maintenance device for the oil pipelines, and this is, I will point out, a real thing that actually exists.
Nice.
I have popped it up slightly for obvious reasons. But it is a real... No, no, that's... What it looks like is very much like a big fat bullet, sort of like one of those little space capsule dealies, but like bullet-nosed at the end of it. And it literally has a bunch of seats around it all sideways, and the outside of it that you can't see is the strip, because it doesn't come out of the pipe without actually physically cutting the pipe in half. Mm. The outside of it is a string of essentially like wire, bristle, you know, sponges, cloths, that kind of thing. It shoots out various cleaning fluids as it goes, making it go faster. It literally accelerates off like a rocket engine at the back.
Does it spin?
Yes, it does, actually.
Oh, God.
That's one of the problems.
You know, those have to be some pretty dedicated cleaning personnel. You know, it'd be one thing to do all the hazards of space travel to go to space. It'd be another thing to clean an oil pipeline.
They get paid quite a lot of hazard pay.
I bet they do.
And plus, you guys are bribing them to use it, so that's a plus.
So we're paid to do it.
Okay.
I'm making sure we take a before and after photo.
So, looking at this device, it has sort of those space seats.
Why is Dr. Strange smiling in that weird way?
It has those spaceship style of seats on it, where you've got the huge ass big seat belts going between your legs and over your shoulders and around your waist and all the rest of it. But you can easily see how you'd be sitting there going like this across the whole body ride.
Yeah.
So it is a matter of trying to work out where you can get additional padding in, where it's not going to fall, ricochet around the cabin, suffocate anyone when their head gets pressed against it at high velocities, etc., etc., etc. So you can use repair or science interchangeably for this, because it is a very advanced device, essentially.
Yeah. I will use science.
So I'm not certain we can all make checks. So
I can't, I'm not trained.
So you are all working towards the same goal, so anyone who is trained and can assist is welcome to. Because you can literally climb in and out and work on it and etc., etc. Like, the thing is, you'll probably spend a day actually setting this up.
Yeah.
But that will still vastly improve your time on
the
job.
Yeah.
So the first person who is doing this, the primary person, is the one who's going to have to actually come up with the idea of how you're going to construct this in the first place. And that's the heart of it. Because that is... repair science either or at -4.
Right.
The two people who are assisting are merely carrying out the genius plan, which is a bit easier. You are at the same check at -2s, and if you can make sufficient agility checks to actually be able to bend, the stretch, climb around the thing, all the rest of it, you can reduce that penalty further.
Cool. Alright.
Well, I've got the last agility, so...
Oh, well, what I was going to suggest was that who's got a green chip?
I do.
Oh, well, who's got a green chip who's doing this?
Not me.
Yeah. So I was wondering about making Jonathan the primary, because then he can get a basic success with the expenditure of only one fate point.
Meta!
I also happen to...
Sorry, it was a cough.
Well, sweetie, is there something wrong with you?
No, I'm just serious.
Okay. Because the thing is, we can't exchange the green chips around, and it would take quite a lot of... But the other one is, what if you got science-wise?
Decent.
So that's pretty good. It should be one of you two that's a primary, because
what's
I've only got a -4, even if I've got a +1 to it.
What's your repair? -2, but I'm not using repair, I'm using science.
You mentioned that you had a D8 or something.
A D8 agility.
Okay.
Which is why I prefer
he's very bendy.
The backup.
Yeah.
One of the backups, because you two have the best agility.
Yeah, well, that is true. It's just, I'm just, and you do have a D6.
Plus, I can feed you guys chips.
Yeah, but you're going to need them for yourself to get that success in a -4.
Chips.
But you do have a decent amount of fate points there. All right, okay. So let's have Mara be the the genius idea thing does sound. Besides, it's kind of hilarious if the two big people are crawling around while the tiny person instructs.
Yes.
Okay, so, and I'm good at D6, which is better than your agility.
Yeah.
Alright, so, Mara tells us what to do, Jonathan and I execute the plan.
Okay.
You're welcome to not have any ideas for this.
I have an idea. So, I listened to the guy explain.
Yeah, he gives you a pretty detailed explanation of how it works and all the rest of it.
Since he's rather technical, I'm sure he's actually heard about me from the Science Institute.
Yes.
He actually takes me seriously.
He will take you as a fellow scientist.
Yep. And I have a little think on this problem, and I have an idea. The reason that there's too much jumping and jipping about is because it's going too slow.
Oh no!
That sounds like a very bold solution. Yes.
Oh no!
So,
oh no!
I'm going to decrease the friction by having it spurt more cleaning fluid.
Yep.
Up the speed and do whatever I can to make it go even faster.
Nothing could go wrong with this
thing. Jonathan and Ryan go to supply padding in a desperate effort to make sure we survive what Mara is doing.
So, Pete and Jonathan, you received this instruction.
Yeah.
What Mara has you doing is a lot of it is going around the outside, actually removing or bending or altering the shape of or the angle of several of these brushes and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to Mara, you sneak in, add some more padding to the nose when you hit something, going at enormous speed and pop out the other end.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of sort of bending and climbing around. The stuff you've got to do inside the capsule is literally sort of lying on your side, reaching awkwardly up around here, trying to lever a wrench, etc., etc. Strength is of very little value here.
Yeah.
So, for starters, can the two of you make me an agility check?
Wow.
Well, that's a good start.
Okay, Pete got a 9.
That was 9.
Okay. On successes with raises, you eliminate the penalty for assisting entirely.
Sweet. So we're now just
rolling. And you are now rolling repair or science.
At no penalty.
Cool. Scoring a bunch of successes or raises.
That was 8 for me, so...
That's a +2.
1, 2.
And I made a 6, so that's an additional +1. So that's a +3 to Mara's.
So
do you want to raise that further?
No, I don't think so.
That now gives you a net of -1. That's -4 on the check, +3. Matt.
Okay. So -1.
Plus any other penalties you're suffering, obviously.
Yeah. No penalties anymore.
No voodoo curse!
Stop the strange de-voodoo.
Yeah, that's her contribution. I can't build this, but I'll put some monkey heads around you. The engineer's looking at you and he's like,
what is going on?
With the -1, that makes an 8.
Okay.
Success of the raid. This is a flawless plan. The solution is to go faster.
Everyone looks terrified except Mara, who's absolutely giddy at this.
No, I'm not terrified. I'm high as hell.
You two are terrified. She's high. I'm giddy.
Dr. Strange, can I have a smoke of that?
This was a good idea, but I'm feeling the day.
He was fine with it until Mara started entering nitroglycerin with the things behind. He wouldn't say he's terrified, but he's a little trouble.
Oh, Mara's loving this.
And
I'm becoming
you think you've done all that you can here, presuming that you're happy to leave it there.
Yep.
You think that you've done all that you can here. The guy will actually come and assist you, strap yourselves in, and make sure everyone's belted in. And he says, you know, now remember, when this goes wrong, you signed a million pages of liability waivers, just like the Mexicans.
Wow.
Well, I'll be on the radio if you need to scream. Good luck. Good luck, y'all. Click. Chunk. Chunk, chunk, shuts and locks the capsule on the outside.
I'm proud of us. We're hardcore. We're not crossing the Gulf of Mexico in a sissy manner.
And
you are strapped in.
So we're
like,
going to be high as hell.
Like space, you are strapped in like astronauts.
Yeah.
From on the side of the wall, stuck on and seat belted on, and covered round entirely in heavy industrial foam. There's the cat cave from which you hear the
wow
coming out.
Translation: this is a bad idea.
Yeah, come on, let's have, what does Tom say as the ride starts off?
When we got married, you said you'd show me a better life. This isn't what I had in mind. And then there are several clicking and chunking noises and great metal things. And the thing begins moving and turning slowly. And this is kind of peaceful. You hear the guy on the radio, you know, 10 kilometers an hour. You're starting to get like a little dizzy just from the slow rotation, the up and down, but largely okay. 20 kilometers an hour. Engaging the engine. Everyone's faces, gravity pressed back. 80, 200, 300. 450 cruising speed, 600 miles an hour, 600 kilometers an hour.
We're like a freaking airplane. Oh well, at least it's not 6 hours of this. It's now what, 4 hours of this? Maybe three.
Can we cease arguing about the thing?
So, you are going to get rattled to hell here. This is like travelling inside a supersonic bullet. No, you know, you've made many precautions. Despite them, your face is pressed back by gravity, you are spun round and round and round, your teeth are rattling and shaking, etc., etc., etc. It's just not good now. It's probably quite thrilling. It's one of those things you'll enjoy more in retrospect.
Yeah, I'll enjoy being out of it.
The good news is any screaming is completely suppressed by the grinding, screaming engine sound.
And the fact that they were going faster than the speed of sound.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, I think this is a horrible thing to subject a cat to, so I think we should have given Tom some medication to put him out for the duration.
Oh, I thought we were giving him some catnip.
Well, actual anything. Cat medication.
Is there any word from the engineer? It's like, hey, it's a new record.
you'll get stuff when you get to the other end of this. Okay, so the way this is going to work is essentially, it's as you continue down the pipeline, you are taking increasingly more damage rolled against your toughnesses. Each check of this, you get a vigor check to endeavor to alleviate some of it. However, because there's all you can do is hard man up. There's nothing you can do to solve the problem entirely.
Yep.
What the repair checks are doing is adding to your vigor checks.
Nice.
The duration of which you've got working on, there's going to be four checks in the string until you pop out the other side, assuming nothing else goes horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
During this, your thing is going to work perfectly for the first two checks of it.
Nice.
It's going to work a little bit on the third one, and on the fourth one, it's going to break down entirely.
Fair enough.
As you hit such velocities that your padding and things all tears off and all the rest of it goes wrong.
Given that, I would imagine also as Naira's extra accelerators burn out, having used their extra fuel and we go back to the normal cruising speed.
So for starters, as you were going along, can everyone make me a vigor check at plus two bonus?
Yay!
Six.
Seven.
Nine.
13.
I'm in.
I have a D10, bigger. A D10.
Yep.
I could turn around and go back.
So, Jonathan, what was yours?
Nine.
Okay. So, that is then. Right. Pete and Jonathan sustain nothing during this, beyond some basic teeth rattling and things.
Because they're men. Manly men.
Manly men. Dr. Strange and Mara. You both get a 4 versus your toughness.
Safe. Five.
Okay. So you are also rattled and shaken and jarred and bumped.
You have the toughness of a little girl.
I'm an old woman, okay? It's almost the same.
No, it's exactly the same.
Also, after Marvello, you didn't want to make another D4 figure character.
D4 agility instead.
And strength.
And thus, like an hour to an hour and a half into the pipe, you are sweating freely. It's also hot in here, unsurprisingly, with the bloody jet engine rolling out the back, and the fact that you're in a pipe under the sea. You're spinning, you're rattling. You really, really don't want to throw up in here. That will only end badly for everyone around you.
That tequila was such a bad idea.
And
this doesn't kill the thing.
You know, if you really want a whore for a fate, go do it. How much tequila did you say?
We're all in this together.
Literally. Okay, and round two of the magic bullet trip across the Gulf of New Mexico. Can everyone make me another vigor check at a plus two?
So it's still a plus two?
Yes.
Cool. 7.
11. Mara's enjoying this.
9.
4.
Okay.
I'm doing terribly. At least I'm passing.
So you two have a single success. You two have a success and a raise.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. More than a raise will get you nowhere. So it's just success and raise or success. Okay. So that is success. 1. Okay.
I think Mara's doing physics questions in her head.
Double ones, was it?
Yep.
Yay.
And I imagine everyone will be fine on that. That is 3 or 1, respectively.
Yeah,
so. And as you get about 4 hours down into it, there is a scrunch noise coming from well behind. The whole thing goes that might have been that 30 degree bend you put in the rear in the rear dorsal fin style of thing. It's all good.
I hope nothing comes out. It's going to be stuck in pipe.
Well, the oil will flush it out the other end onto the penguins.
Why do you think they're black and white?
Real penguins
are just white.
Can everyone now give me a bigger check at a plus one bonus? If the thing breaks halfway in the next round, it will do nothing.
Yay.
Oh,
6.
Success.
5.
Success was a raise.
Success.
Super success.
That's
12. Okay, so success.
You spent a fate point for that. What was your original number?
3.
Alright,
yep.
So Jonathan and Pete raise.
Yep.
And Mara and Doctor Strange get a success.
Yep.
Yep. Alright. Oh dear.
Aww. Why are you putting extra D6 on?
Because it gets worse as you go along.
That was worse. So that was a 12.
Yeah, well, it would be worse if you didn't make a success. It would be worse.
And then so that is for Mara and Doctor Strange. Sorry,
yeah, we've got
Matthew.
5 toughness.
That is a 14 versus your toughness.
Yep.
We've got a 5
against Jonathan and Pete. It is an 8 versus their toughness.
Ooh, that will actually hit Pete's toughness.
Okay.
That's 2 over for me.
Okay, so it will shake you both then.
Yep.
Which you can keep track of however you like, but you only have to remember it for one more round.
Yeah. I'm shaken, guys.
The other two of you go to whatever combination of shaken and wounded and such forth you like, at which point you can spend hero points to...
Yeah.
Just as if you were being shot, basically.
Yeah.
So a 14 on the 5 toughness is 9 and...
Shaken, wounded, by my count?
Yeah. Okay.
So what Betty is for...
To attempt a soap roll with a bigger check.
Bigger, not spirit?
Bigger.
Because it's physical.
Physical damage.
Spirit is fine, check.
Oh, that's worse.
Would you like a blue?
Does that make it worse?
No.
It means that you can't re-roll it unless you spend a... The only options you have are a blue to re-roll it or a green to succeed.
I'd be inclined to just take the wounds at that point rather than...
It's 2 wounds.
Yeah.
Well, it's up to you.
Because we've got another roll after this.
Yeah, but your vigor's a D6, so you could do better than... Did you roll a D6?
Yeah.
2 D6.
Yeah, alright.
Okay,
well, let's see what yours is first and then... decide what to do about.
Oh yes. So that's a.
Nine.
We add the plus one to that because we're still in the thing.
Plus one. No, no.
Okay, nine.
So
okay.
It's success with a raise. So that shake loses the two wounds, which means it loses the shaken.
Yes.
You're okay.
It won't lose the shaken in this case.
Okay.
Because you're not being shaken for the usual combat duration of 6 seconds.
Right,
you're
being
shaken for...
Okay, so you just join the shaking club.
Yep.
All right, so do we... All right, at that point, we might want to spend a blue on Susan, given she's got one more round of this to get through.
Or she can spend the green and get a success, period.
Yeah, but that only heals me one wound.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. But still, okay, that'll mean you're only at one wound.
I'm the old lady with the one wound and a rocket ship. And
yeah, but the
crash.
Point is, Susan, if you roll a 3 and a 1 on those dice, you will have two. When you, if he gives you a blue and you roll a 3 and 1 on those dice, you will still have two wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you spend the green, you will at least only have one.
The good, plus, we might as well start spending at least one of the.
The good news is that, short of anything going cataclysmically wrong, this is very unlikely to kill you at any point. It's just going to rattle you. Knock you out, wound you, etc.
There's a green.
Okay, so...
The first green on the game.
Nice. Just actually look up what this does. This is the first time one has been spent.
Yeah, I do think at the point that we're about, that we've gotten our last one in the bag, it's about time we spent one, so we could at least have the capacity to gain more again.
Yeah.
Blah-blah. Where did I write the thing that here? Here we are. So, green chips, the group compel ones, okay. So you can use them like a blue chip, at which point it can re-roll or add a d6 without giving the GM one, and you can re-roll crit fumbles, etc., etc. It can be used to achieve a minimal success even after the dice have been rolled. It can be used to re-roll any roll, damage rolls on tables, etc., etc. It can be traded in to give you any temporary advancements or boost your figure when you're doing this, this style thing. But I presume you want the minimal success option.
Yes.
Because the vigor, the boosting my vigor is only going to be for this roll, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, no, actually it's for, what is it for? Until the next time your hero points are refreshed. So, a session and a bit, essentially.
That's actually a really long time. It would be more expensive because we need to give you another fate point to re-roll the chip, which would have to be a blue. But on the other hand, do we want the cool bonus given that we're spending our first green chip?
It would functionally subtract one from the damage because your toughness would go up, but I don't think that actually makes any difference at this particular point.
No, but it would make differences to a next vigor checks and, you know, then for... subsequent jungle stuff.
I'd say just the minimum success would be the best.
Okay, sure thing. Alright, so you just take one wound.
You can trade it in for a temporary advancement until you refresh your hero points, essentially. So you could up your skills, up your attributes, get an edge, etc., etc.
We should bear that in mind as an option for the future. Okay, and...
I'm shaken.
What, yeah, we all are.
Shaken.
One more bullet round.
Okay, and... The last round up of the bullet. There are sparks flying around the inside of the cavern now. You hear New Mexico over the radio, and that's about it.
Yeah.
You're not sure whether the radio is actually breaking under the speed, or whether you just can't hear the guy anymore, or whether
the
you're too.
Can't be good.
And at this point, you are, you know, pressure crushing kilometers under the ocean. It is only. The actual engineering skill of the pipeline and BP's ability to make a thing that doesn't break that are keeping you alive in the first place.
There's so much savagery in this.
If they didn't want this reputation, they shouldn't have blown up the Gulf of Mexico.
And we come to the last check. Can people make me a vigor check at no bonus? And indeed, penalties for those people who are wounded.
Yeah.
Yes! Oh. That's what I want.
Can I have a plus one from somebody?
Yep.
Because I got a 4, but I have a minus 1. So.
An 8.
Oh, okay. So. Last one, so I'm just going to take it.
So fail.
8.
Success with a raise.
Success with a raise.
1. Success.
Alright, Jonathan, I do wonder if maybe Mara could give you a fate point. We've never failed a check entirely. I think that might be quite a lot of damage. Yeah.
So that's what you need.
Basic success, raise. Because I think it's going to be 4 dice.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and I think that's going to... Yeah, I think that's going to be a lot.
Okay.
If you fail at all, huh? It's going to be a lot anyway.
A bullet is screaming and sparking, you are all rattled, your bones feel like they've been hollowed out at this point.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear.
6, 7, 8, 9, 15, 16. So that would be 15 for people with successes and 11 for people with raises.
Okay.
So that's still 2 wounds.
Depends on your toughness and right. So for people that are already shaken, you get wounded on the first bit, on the first one when it equals. You don't get wounded on the second one, then you get wounded again on the third one.
Right, so I take a wound.
Sorry, my head's all stuffed up.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I've got 5 toughness.
Yep. And
so
you had
only.
Success on the battle sheet.
Well, actually, no, I'm lower than you, so
9.
Okay, I don't see any point. I'm not going to bother spending a
so
big, making
5,
a bigger check.
9,
but 13. You can if you want.
So that would be 2. And you're already shaken. Yeah. So that would be 2 wounds again.
So I'm down to 3 wounds.
Yeah. So you might want to make a soak. You might want to make a soak roll on it.
Okay. Well, I've got only 1 more fate dice left.
Yeah. Well, someone
else
can.
As well,
someone.
So.
It's just a basic wipe for a soak roll.
Yeah. Do a soak roll and.
Well, could someone spend... She's asking if someone could give her a fate point to avoid her last thing. You've got 1 more than me is the reason I mention this.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the future because I can... When I give people...
All right, fair enough. All right, okay. So make a soak roll. Make a vigor, see if you can soak any of those wounds. Nope. Oh, that's as good as it gets.
Okay, so with me...
You're all incapacitated.
Yep.
I'm already shaking, so... First one hits me on 5.
Yep.
9 doesn't.
Yes, ignore the 9. 13 is the next one.
And you only got 11 damage, so you just take the 1 wound.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just take the 1 wound.
I have 2 wounds because I've got
6
damage,
so 6 toughness, you hit at 6 and hit again at 14. So, yes, that would be 2 wounds.
Yep. So, everyone is injured.
Okay. Does anyone wish to make any more. Soak checks, etc., etc., etc.
No, I think at this point we'll
okay.
settle for the medical adventure.
So the thing is screaming along. Jonathan and Dr. Strange, you have actually blacked out on and off at 2 or 3 different points during this. Mara and Pete remain conscious, gritting their teeth till the end. And the thing goes ka-chook round the curve of the pipe. And where it's meant to go to sort of a gentle halt, you have soaked in the shit out of it, so it goes flying out the end over the BP oil rig, deploys the parachute out the back, and splash, lands gently, you know, on the other side of the oil rig on the end of the, at the edge of the bay of the Gulf of Mexico.
I think Mara may be an adrenaline junkie.
And
I think Mara may not be allowed to soak things up anymore.
Right. How much faster were we?
You have crossed what is a minimum like 4-day journey by a normal ship, let alone oil tanker, in slightly under 5.5 hours.
Let's see if I'll do that.
And you
I don't think he'd want to.
You are sort of stuck in here because there's no windows in this
yeah.
capsule by design because there's nothing
yeah.
to see. Mm. And eventually you hear the knock, knock, knock on the steel in the kitchen. They open the door. The thing is bobbing in the water. There's the rescue boat out next to the oil rig. And there's a guy, a different guy, of course. Now he's at the other end, but a different maintenance guy going, holy hell, we clocked that at going... We clocked that at going 888 kilometres an hour. That's fast enough to go back in time.
I know. Isn't that great?
Of course, we let Mara look here. She thinks everything's supposed to go and go back in time.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Dr. Amanda Strange's hands are shaking. She's trying to let her cat out the cage. Yeah. Her hands are shaking so bad.
And strapping young oil men will be, you know, escorting, physically pulling you out, because among other things, everyone...
No, they're going to have to pick me up.
Everyone probably needs help to get out of this, because some of you are strapped in on the roof style things. So they carry you out.
Yeah.
Carry you to the oil room.
As soon as Pete's unstrapped, Pete can carry Dr. Strange and the cat out, because Pete... has nerves of steel, which means his physical wound penalises him not.
It's irrelevant. Rock on.
I would like Mara to be the first one out, so she can get one of the construction workers to take a photo.
Yep, first out.
Woo! Yeah, I imagine Mara, despite being significantly bruised, bounces like this out of the compartment.
A photo of Amanda's arrangement. Catatonic on the ground with her cat.
Oh, that's beautiful. Proper up face. Dead white, all the blood gone from it. I have seen the face of God, and it is terrifying.
We are now relying on this woman with her ministry wound penalties to give us medical attention,
and
people.
You are taken back to the oil rig and, you know, laid down for a bit of a rest and whatever. Whenever you want, they will get a boat to take you to the mainland, which is, you know, literally, you know, half an hour away, because the oil rig is right there on shore, of course.
Yeah. So, is anybody else trained in healing? It's just her, right?
I really should pick that up at some point.
I thought you had.
Nope.
Jeremy was the one that had healing.
I claim no responsibility. I have it on audio record that I gave everyone a chance to respec when Jeremy left.
Yeah.
And that's when Dr. Strange took healing and everyone else went...
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to give it a go healing myself.
Yep, because that's the one to start off with.
You're welcome to roll it. I'm just checking if you're at any things for this. But, go for it.
If I'm at any things for this.
Yeah, you might be penalised for self-healing.
You are in the sense that you're penalised by your own wounds, but it is a slight oddity of the system, but I actually kind of like it, that healing yourself is actually easier than healing other people, generally speaking.
5 minus 3 is 2. Okay. This sucks.
50-50 chance. Maybe give her a blue. If she has at least one wound.
Well, the thing is, it's a 2 with all the minuses, so she only, it's not a 50-50 chance. If you give her a blue as a D6, it's only a... It's a
No. She needs at least a 3, so...
Yeah, but that's my point. There's 3 on a D6.
Yeah.
It's not a 50-50 chance.
A 3 out of 6 is still a 50-50 chance to...
3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay, you're right.
Yep.
It'll be a 66%
This
chance.
Is a blue.
It is it?
It is. It's got power activate.
One more D6?
One more D6.
Come on, give me 6s.
Oh, nice. So that's 2 plus 6 is you've currently got a success with a raise, so roll it again.
So it's another 2.
Which is not enough, so you have got a success with a raise, which removes 2 of your wounds.
There we go.
How much does it to get the next one?
Another 2 pull.
Yeah, no, I actually think you're stuck with it. Hang on.
Oh.
You may remove 1 wound with a success, or 2 steps with a raise, that's it.
Yep, so
we've got the maximum.
So
okay.
That's the maximum result you can generate.
Okay,
so awesome.
Well, that's not as bad.
Yeah,
okay.
And that's going to mean that when you make your heal checks for everybody else, you only have your penalties plus them.
And you have not been incapacitated.
Yeah, which was a good thing. Okay, heal checks going around. Jonathan?
Okay, Jonathan, what have you got? You've got two wounds.
So,
okay.
Minus 3 penalty.
Again.
Yep. Jonathan might want nerves of steel.
No.
Nope.
Okay, so that's a 0, so I think Jonathan's just going to be a bit badly hurt.
Yeah. Just the 1.
Minus 2. Great, that would have been the good one to roll for Jonathan.
8 minus 2 is...
That's
one. Oh, you're back to normal.
Okay, so, of course, Mara was in the most padded bit.
Yeah, so that minus 1 again, so...
No.
That's fine. I don't care deeply with nerves of steel.
Mara comes out the other end completely uninjured. Hey!
I hate you so much right now.
Well, that was great. Let's do it again.
We do have a route. You have to actually go down the Amazon River, which will probably take a couple of days, which means we'll potentially have at least one revolve.
I was like, so when can you turn it back around? Can we go back again this way?
We're never doing that again.
Next, where are we going next? Because if you're going back up this way, you could justify doing it again.
We'll fire Maru, and the rest of us will go by an ice scenic yacht.
And when she comes back the other end, white as a ghost, and descended to a different plane.
Maru had a great time.
Come back.
Maru wants to do it again as soon as possible.
I'm bigger.
Amanda Stranger will request one of the workers to light up another opium for her.
Another marijuana cigarette.
So,
and hold it for her as she smokes it, because she can't handle shit right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't normally pressure on you, but if we didn't get those medicalizings done in the first hour, we can't have them
the
at
reason
all.
I screwed it up was probably because I'm like, what?
Yeah, Jonathan, let me smooth your wounds. Oh, God!
Cold fingers, no.
So, the actual physical wounds that people have and that you're treating, there's no broken bones, there's nothing, criminally serious or permanent. It's just, Jonathan, you feel like you've been in a hideous bar fight. You feel like someone's beaten every part of you methodically with a baseball bat. It's that thing where you get out of bed and you're like,
so I'm probably
oh, God, muscles, you know. I'll just get this out of the fridge.
So, a usual Tuesday in Cairo?
Yeah, pretty much. It hasn't been this bad since the mummies with baseball
bats. Yeah, but there weren't any mummies, so it's fine.
Mara says, look, I've constructed this elaborate system of bandages to protect the capsule. Don't they look like a person?
Yes, the mummy phobia isn't really turning out to be such of a problem now we're out of Egypt.
Shockingly enough. So yeah, Dr. Strange, what you're probably putting on is various liniments and creams and that
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah, something to heal, get bruising to come out faster.
Everyone smells strongly. Yeah. But you're on an oil rig full of guys that smell like sweat.
And
so
we're about
no
to go to the Amazon,
yeah.
So it's fine.
Okay, and we are endeavouring to probably boat down the Amazon.
Okay, so
a piranha-infested river. That should be relaxing.
I had a plan so suicidal, even you got injured.
Yeah, that's pretty rare. I think this is only the second time I've actually broken out my nerves with steel.
I think it's actually the first.
I think I got beaten up in the mummy fight.
Yeah,
the mummy fight.
I think
that
it was
mummy
before
was
you got these feet.
No, he started with nerves of steel. One of the opening.
Yeah. No, brawny and nerves of steel are my 2 inches. They're the only two over my head.
I bent through half my hair points.
So
yeah.
The guys.
That's what you. That's what we bring you along for.
The guys at Bloody Polluters are
so
very impressed.
Bloody Polluters.
Sorry, BP. The guys at BP are very impressed by your record-shattering efforts. To such an extent that, the oil rig obviously has several boats on it. The guy says, yeah, well, we can get one of our boats to row you to shore, you know. We can get one of our boats to take you up to shore. They've got little motors, a few oars, that sort of thing. You know, unfortunately, we don't have them all. See, that one there fell off in the last storm. See here, I've accounted for it already.
Awesome.
But if you wait, if you can wait a couple of hours for the guys to get off shift and come back here, you know, then one of them will be able to take you to shore.
Yeah.
on that boat.
I think we can sit around for a couple of hours. What do you think?
And so yes, you can disappear a boat off the BP oil rig.
Nice.
Which will actually getting to shore was never going to be a problem, but this will solve one of your future problems, having to procure a boat style of thing.
Score, we'll take that.
Okay. And thus you bring out the travel success ticker for 6, 7, and 8.
Oh, my God. We lost two to Mardi Gras, but gained 3 for nearly dying.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, I said we needed it to catch back up.
And we didn't get
Doctor Strange killed. We had to spend like 4 fat points not getting Doctor Strange killed, but we pulled it off. I know it's going to suck for me.
And this is why you allowed Mara to supercharge things.
This is why we're never doing that again.
And what you are driving on is essentially one of those surf lifesaving style rubber duckies. It's got a...
oh, good.
Yeah, no, they're
no, the wheels are really good, like the Piha ones.
Yeah, they're good, big, solid boats.
I'm just not reassured by the name.
Sorry, it's,
hey,
it's
have
the,
you ever seen
the New Zealand colloquial.
Yeah, here's the question. Have you ever seen a rubber ducky sink?
I believe outboard motorised boats or something.
Yeah. Official name. No, I realise with the PR background you know the technical names for these things.
No, I have no idea what the technical name is at all. Yeah. In any case, it is crewed by both oars and a petroleum motor, with the theory being when you run out of gas, you row, or to conserve gas, or to go quietly through dangerous bits or whatever.
Yeah,
it's actually
be
quite
relevant if we go down the Amazon.
It's actually quite suitable for the task, but for the moment... You have come out at the very edge of the Gulf of Mexico. You're basically taking this boat down the coastline of South America, getting to the river, and heading into Belon, which, well, this is a longer way geographically. You're a lot of interested to trek through the thick, imposing jungle.
No, piranhas or not, I think the Amazon River is definitely the best way to go through the Amazon jungle.
Plus, I think we made...
Opposed to the trackless jungle.
I think we made... We've got slightly more time, considering we travel by boat.
Yeah, but if fog bypassed Mardi Gras, we've probably only caught up the time that we, most of the time that we lost. We're probably a little ahead given the speech and some of the bullet.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind this is your grand total rather than
where we are
necessarily
right
current
ahead.
League. Because
yeah.
I basically keep track of it as, you know, fog gets ahead of you if he desperately needs to appear here to do a thing, you know, and if not, he falls behind you style of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are basically...
I mean, given that we're probably going to both arrive at the good dramatic conclusion round about the nick of time, it likely means how many fate points we get before fog shows up.
Shockingly enough, there's nothing you can do to avert showing up at the nick of time.
Yeah.
It's only a question of how many fate points you haul for in the process. So you are heading to the small village of Belon, and that means basically going around the coast and then going down the Amazon River. There is actually, you know, proper, well, not quite cities, but small towns around the mouth of it style of thing, where you can stop and get the bunch of supplies that, oddly enough, you couldn't fit in your travelling bullet of actually, you know, a big pile of food and water and all that sort of thing.
Sweet.
And it is basically while you were bopping around doing this that we, I think actually, as we are peacefully heading the boat around the curves, heading towards the mouth of the river, we will have the interlude.
Yep.
And I believe we have now done everyone.
I haven't done Pete.
Haven't done Pete?
No.
Okay. Well, that makes the question obvious then, doesn't it?
I don't know if we have done everyone. I know that we've done Doctor Strange. I'm pretty sure we did...
We definitely did Jonathan. He was getting into New York. We did Mara, her one was about Frankenstein.
Right, yes, no, we haven't done me.
Okay. Well, in that case, would you like it?
Yep.
Okay, would you like to pick a card, any card?
Yeah, I think I would like to pick a card, any card.
Good thing I got the deck of cards.
Yep.
Four of hearts. Go.
The romantic
oh, what?
Thing?
You want to actually know things?
Yeah.
Was it romantic or a friendship or something?
I don't remember what the suits are.
I know what page it's on, but I can never remember what the things actually are. Mostly because I've used interludes in Australia pretty fucking game.
And that's what you can't remember?
You're a bad person. Hearts is indeed love.
Yeah.
Speak fondly of something the character loves, lost, found, or waiting on him back home. What's her name? Where does she live? Why is the traveller not with her now? So that, you know, there's a really obvious answer to that. There's also the more metaphysical, you know, either other people that you love or things you love, which, being American, can be concepts like freedom and shit.
Yeah.
So
how you became Pittsburgh Pete.
You're welcome to
Pittsburgh. I'm from Pittsburgh. There's no thing but
my parents named me Peter.
The title.
Yeah.
The title Pittsburgh Pete.
Yeah.
So you are cruising gently in your boat around the coastline of the Amazon River.
Nice.
probably, you know, the sun setting dramatically as you're heading into the village over the...
My cat's starting to wake up.
You're with the outboard motor without your shirt on?
Yep. I'm wearing my shirt. It's the jungle, man. There'll be mosquitoes and things.
I feel like I've been shot in a giant cannon.
That's not too far off the truth, Derry.
Pete, you are free to cue anyone to your interlude as you like.
No, that's right. So, it is a beautiful moonlit night, and Pete is sort of glancing thoughtfully out as the ocean as the boat scuds lightly along the waves. You know, it was a nice night like this that I first met Elsa.
Oh?
I was up in Germany for a conference on new building methods, and she was there at the fencing academy. It was a beautiful night, but there was trouble afoot. People were sabotaging the technology conference, trying to stir up trouble between the various international groups that arrived. And Elsa had heard something about it on the street and arrived to look into it. And I was poking around too, and we crossed paths in a dark corridor, and she nearly took my head off with the sword, but fortunately I got the wrench in the way just in time.
Rule of superhero meetings.
Yeah, we had a bit of a heated discussion. We had a bit of a heated discussion before I convinced her I was one of the good guys, and we set out to look for the bad. We set out to look for the bad guys. So it was a German landmark. It's Berlin. Don't have a wall yet.
Feel free to invent whatever you start.
Yeah. We wound up in some underground tunnels underneath the city, chasing down what turned out to be some. Looking back, I think they must have been members of the Thule Society, but at the time we just thought they were weird German types. Apes. We beat them up handily and took them into the proper authorities, and then it was just the two of us alone at night exploring the city. It was very romantic. And as I looked at her, I knew I'd found a woman who was strong and brave and beautiful. A real hero. And I said to myself, one day I'm going to marry that girl. I don't know any more if that's going to happen. She's not the same person I knew back when we travelled the world together. But I still care about her. And I still have hope.
The circumstances have changed, but not necessarily the person.
She's different now. She's darker, colder. I don't know what she's been through, but it hasn't been good. I don't know if she can come back from it. But I hope she can.
Mm-hmm. Pete gets a fate point.
Yay!
And the GM takes several sentences worth of notes.
Awesome.
Wow.
So it's going to come back.
Yep.
Yay.
I know exactly how I'm there too. Oh, you say very clever.
Oh.
What's so awfully funny?
Not that voice.
No, you're getting my Portuguese accent at this point.
Wow.
I'm not sure you'll like it any better. So you
have you done the backstory thing yet?
Okay, so now it was Transylvania fighting with some kind of Frankenstein's monster thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Jeremy and Bernard had earlier ones and then vanished into the sun.
I'm not certain we ever got round to Jeremy.
Yeah, I think he'll remain a mystery forever.
I'm pretty sure we had Jeremy.
Didn't we have the Thul Society recruiting him as his backstory?
That was in the prologue episode.
Yeah, that was by
default.
Yeah,
I don't remember either of them having interludes.
I know Grant didn't, because we were going to go at the same time. It was just the two of us to go.
Yeah.
And I went instead of him, and then he
left.
Quick, to the podcast.
So yes, we've now had everyone, so the next role is totally the next interlude role is totally random again.
Nice.
But yeah, there was only ever going to be one story. Pete loves many things, but there was only ever going to be one story. Because I wanted to tell one about Elsie anyway, so you know. What? The next one could be some other aspect of Pete's past.
Yeah, I got hearts as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were basically stopping for the evening to stock up in Ruta Riviera, the crossing of rivers. Because Doctor Strange is here, so she can just translate all the stuff.
Yeah. Basically thus.
And we're out of America. And we're out of North America.
Yep, now you're in South America.
Yeah.
The fake America.
You can feel your common sense dwindling.
I no longer know things.
Yep, you got to ask people things and they talk back to you in Portuguese.
Yeah. Pete feels sad.
Hey, we saved the Statue of Liberty.
That was pretty awesome. No, it was definitely fun being in America. I enjoyed it while it lasted.
Okay, so you will be going upriver a few days to the smaller village of Bellon. Where basically you will be meeting Dr. Amelia Hunt. Dr. Strange, you're pretty much envisaging that being the sort of adventurous spirited woman you are, even though you're friends with her, she probably will ask you for a favour of some kind in keeping with the nature of the contest.
Mm-hmm.
And given it's the middle of the Amazon jungle, therefore you're going up there, you're thinking taking a bunch of supplies ready for some sort of expedition would probably be a good idea. So Ruta Riviera is where you are stocking up all that sort of crap, which is pretty easily done.
Well, also, even if we assume it was in fact going to be incredibly easy and she wasn't going to ask us for any kind of favour, we are trekking up the Amazon River. We probably want a bunch of supplies anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, a bunch of extra supplies for any errands we have to run is probably a good thing. We might also want to try and find out about routes to the ley line, because we probably want to actually try and head up there as well and at least endeavour to cut a fog off from it.
Yep, true. So this is actually a town. You know, there are a bunch of people, bars, boats, libraries, that sort of thing, if you want to do any of that research, sort of research here.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking we probably want to try and find out how to get to the ley line and also try and find out where the fog is ahead or behind. We want to start keeping a better track of his whereabouts.
Yep.
So is he ahead, behind, nobody's seen him ever? So what kind of checks are those?
So some of them are streetwise, some of them are academics.
Right.
I can do the academics.
The people-y stuff is streetwise. The
I can do
library
either.
Stuff is academics. The ley lines can be a cult as well, actually.
Oh, right. Okay, I'll do a cult then.
So all right.
Us three studying and you out looking for glues?
Why don't you get three roll in an academics check to see if you can find a ley line, and then I and anybody else who's got any kind of streetwise can roll a fog tracking.
Oh,
wow.
I'll need it. I'm rolling terrible. I got three.
How many sixes was that?
That's three sixes and a four, so that's 22.
I don't think we're
going to
need anyone besides Jonathan in the library.
That was my academics.
What are you looking at?
Ley line locations.
Yeah, maps.
Okay. So, this is unsurprisingly, you know, not in a highly advanced public library. You're looking through old records here. You do actually need the presence of Doctor Strange here, because lots of it will be in Portuguese.
Oh, so do I need to do a roll for
No, you can just no. Jonathan finds the books, you just help him read them.
Okay.
But with that sort of roll, you know, you find the ones that are in sufficient English, or, you know, at least have maps on them that you can understand, Leus, Linus, and whatever the hell they like.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan may spend more time in Egypt, but he's no doubt done a few archaeological expeditions. He knows how to look at a map and go, that looks like the bit that has the interesting treasure in it.
So
that's the bit that looks like it has temples which have ruby statues which have rubies in the eye socket.
So you find there
no one will miss one ruby eye socket.
There is Morte Lenta, the slow death, is this large region, like a huge chunk of jungle. You're already in it at this village. And you will be heading into, deep into the heart of it as you head to Belon. Now, when you find information about the ley lines that you're looking at, you can see, like, they've got the one crossing up here through Egypt, one crossing up here through Transylvania, and you've got the one crossing here through the Amazon. The area that this conflux of energies you're expecting, and where the crossing hits, essentially, because that's where the conflux of energy is, is not marked. You can see, like, ley line goes in here, ley line goes in here. Then there's that kind of area in the middle with here, there be monsters style of thing. So they haven't got the actual conflux marked. You will be able to find out why, however.
Yep.
This is off from the village of Belon in the jungle. And it is supposed to be the area where there is meant to be a savage tribe that kills all intruders style of thing.
So maybe we just let Fog go in and hope for the best.
How many million raises did you get on your academics check?
Well, she got a 20. 21,
wasn't it?
So 20.
4, 8, 12, 16. Right. Okay. So.
You know everything about the savage tribe.
Yeah. You. This is not actually listed in the books we're looking at, but put together with Doctor Strange, it would be pretty obvious this is presumably the lost tribe of Kilquarto. Obviously, they are not. It's not a different lost tribe that happens to be in more or less exactly the same area. Their specific location is, of course, lost. You are not going to be able to find it by looking it up in a library, regardless of how many razors you get. However, you can find out lots of interesting things about these people.
That's unbelievable.
For starters, they are essentially
Amazons.
Not actually Amazons in the sense of the all-woman style thing. They are jungle savages of the Amazon jungle. So exactly what you'd expect. Face paint, blow darts, you know, shirtless, etc, etc. Mm-hmm. What?
No racial stereotype untapped.
They're not pygmies.
Okay, fair point. White racial stereotype untapped.
They are jungle ninjas, essentially. They are reputed to be ghosts within the jungle. They use very primitive tools and weapons like blow darts and things, but very few people have encountered any remnants of them and survived. They're extremely hostile to outsiders.
Naturally.
Jungle ninjas is the descriptor that I've given myself, because that's what they are. Fortunately, you all have perception notice checks, right? Or something.
I've got D6.
I've got D4.
Secondly, they are supposedly... You're going to literally get all of the information here, so prepare for info dump. They are supposedly worshippers of a god they call Kilquarto. Now, this ancient god was supposed to be some sort of hideous entity from outside of the world, and at this point you're talking like a Cthulhuian style thing. It's a great old one.
Of course.
Everywhere we go it's freaking Cthulhu.
Likes Cthulhu.
It's not, that's just the closest it's not actually a proper mythos thing. That's just an equivalence that the players will understand.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be an old god from before the time of humanity style of thing.
Right, so it's just a regular jungle day.
Before the time of humanity, from the darkness outside the earth style of thing. So an ancient space god.
Yeah.
And many thousands of years ago in this area, a kamikaze suicidal doomsday cult was endeavouring to end the world by summoning Kilquarto to Earth.
Fortunately, they were foiled by, guess what, a plucky band of heroes.
Of course.
What
else foils?
As a consequence of that, they didn't foil it entirely, but Kilquato's essence was said to be bound into this world in obviously some sort of very restrictive, non-world-ending form, because the world's still here.
Yeah.
He is described as being a crocodile god. Well, nobody outside of this tribe...
Yes, the crocodile cult.
...actually believes he exists style of thing. Many people treat him with a lot of reverence anyway, in the same way you may not actually believe in the devil, but you don't taunt Satan, you know, just on general principles.
Yeah.
And he is supposed to be the god of crocodiles, unsurprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
Poison, which is completely incongruous with crocodiles. Hunger.
Lovely.
And healing.
Hmm.
Of all things.
Hmm.
And that the Eye of Kilquato, whatever it is that might be, is supposed to be some sort of presumably artifact or something. Depends whether you believe there's an actual god there or whatever.
We're going to be in trouble if it's a ruby that's bigger than your head and you're not supposed to poke it.
It is supposed to be a Holy Grail-esque miracle cure-all.
Right.
You know, heals all wounds, raises the dead, etc., etc. style of thing.
And it's not worth your life.
Yes, it is.
Seriously, I'm thinking ruby bigger than your head.
This is actually very hard information to find out. Many of these records have been hidden away, purged. The old books you're looking at, somebody has blacked out all these words and you're holding them up to the light and trying to work them out for painstaking analysis and things.
I imagine some of them are in cipher.
Yeah, people have endeavoured to bury this cult and pretend it does not exist, but it does.
Cool!
I imagine some of the people burying this cult will probably be the last adventuring party.
Alrighty, so, and the good news is we don't have to try and figure out how to get to the ley lines because the plot will carry us there.
Yay!
Okay, so, it's well.
Wow, I method so hard. That was so meta.
Well, come on, it's not like, that's not super meta. We know Amelia Hunt is researching the Lost Tribe of Kilquato.
Yeah,
the Lost Tribe of Kilquato are near where Amelia Hunt is. It's not, doesn't take a genius.
And they are somewhere in that area, as is the ley line, and, you know, they explicitly worship a star-fallen magical crocodile god.
Yeah.
So, you know.
there's some commonality there. Anyway, I'm a professional adventurer. Anytime
it always works like this.
Yeah, anytime there's a weird shit thing, people are going to want you to go poke the weird shit. I love the, it's like the Knights of the Old Republic, where it's all like, it's nice and comfortable up here on the upper level, but in the lower level, there are guys that will mug you. And then, of course, you have to go to the lower level, and then you get mugged. And it's like, well, it's not so bad down here on the lower level as long as you can fight off the bandits, but down there in the bottom level, it's terrifying.
That's where the ghouls are.
And it's terrifying in that, you know, that people are barely scratching out a living and there's ghouls and mutants. And you get down to the bottom level, you fight your way through a group of mutants, and they're like, okay, here in this enclave of civilization, it's pretty good, but out there are where the real mutants are. And then guess where you have to go?
Just for that, Dr. Amelia Hunt shows up in the library, and she's like, hi, take a photo, I've signed this, here's the Eye of Kilquato. Bye. And she disappears back into the plot.
At which point I stare at that eye thinking, what's it gonna do?
Yeah, then the real adventure starts as you look into the eye and the eye looks back.
Yeah.
In any case, streetwise check to trace fog. Has anyone else got streetwise besides me?
I do, but I've already done my whole check.
Well, can you do both?
No.
Right.
It's, she's literally off in the library while you're wandering around.
Oh, well,
yabbling.
Then we have no idea where fog is, because I have a -2 because I'm not in America.
Yeah. Well, the good news is he's not walking the streets because you hear him.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 what a plastic town.
Yeah, but we don't know if he's ahead or behind or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just if the ley line was 200, it's quite conceivable that the plot, the things we're meant to be doing would be over here, and Phileas and co. would take a general side tour over there and do their sneaky magic ritual.
What are you up to, Mara?
That's a damn good question.
Didn't you already make a check, an academics check?
I didn't make a check, because I saw, I was, about to ask a question, and then Miriam rolled, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, so I'd already asked that question." Then.
Yeah. If it was about the if it was about the tribe of Quilquato, it's been answered.
Yeah. So,
yeah, wandering the town, taking in the sights.
I think
pretty much. Yeah.
At this point, Jonathan has actually, you know, researched and written a paper on the lost tribe of Quilquato. With that kind of academics check, it's like, well, if I'm doing all this research anyway, I haven't published anything
actually,
in a while.
Why not make a luck roll and see what actually happens? Good old D20. 17.
Yeah.
You find a puppy.
Yay!
A demonic puppy.
Yay!
You do indeed find a puppy.
Yay!
Because running through sort of the more docky, the dock area, they're running around. And then, of course, you know, it runs sort of down one of the piers. And you see a bunch of guys down there that the puppy is running around. They look, you know, vaguely, not terribly menacing per se, but kind of seedy. They're just kind of hanging around. The leader has this long, slicked back, super greased hair. He's got his shirt open like this, and he's got three or four gold pimp chains on. And he smiles at you as he sees you, you know, obviously a foreigner to town style of thing. What's that over there? Just getting my Portuguese. Hola, señorita. Little señorita. You look like you are lost.
I can feel the grease of this man.
Perhaps you need a big, perhaps you need a big strong man to help, Holmes.
Oh, that's okay. I already have one back at the base.
Oh, jeez.
If you hope to get any further in Rota Riviera, you will need many's help, señorita. I control all the boats around here. Your man friend will have to come and see me.
Oh, yeah. All of the boats, even the ones coming in?
Nothing goes down the river that I don't know about.
Wouldn't have happened to see a... What's the Portuguese word for this? You know, I say the Portuguese word for stuffed up pigeon of a man and describe fog to him.
Sounds rich. Oh, we've not seen him, but we keep our eyes open.
Okay, that's good.
Hello, little girl. You say you've got a big strong man, Tom? You ever tell him if he wants to live vis a la raza, you know? You come down into the docks, you ask to see Manny.
You.
Huh? Can you give me an empathy check?
Oh, yes, please.
Is he sleazy as fuck, or is he sleazy as fuck?
I think he's sleazy as fuck, but I think he may actually be useful. Oh, God.
You can't see through the sleazy.
Nope.
Unless you want to spend one.
Step back away from the grease.
I think in this case it'd be worth it. Simple success.
Okay. So, yeah, he's greasy and sleazy, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Among other things, like, you're a bit young for it, so he's not really eyeing you up with a predatory-style glance.
No.
Indeed, actually, if anything, you think the opposite is true. If you had a big strapping man friend with you, he'd be eyeing him up with a predatory glance.
Oh.
He's sleazy and gay.
Oh.
You're going to have to take one for the team.
He certainly thinks...
Draymond.
He certainly thinks that he's right when he says he controls all the boats and river traffic and rentals and all that sort of thing in and out of here.
Yeah.
You are pretty sure this guy is... crooked as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Fortuitously, you don't have to rent a boat from him. You already solved that problem, which is going to save you several headaches.
P He is already relieved.
However, he's definitely still got potential to make trouble for you.
Yeah.
Because, among other things, you are bringing in a nice boat that he would probably like. And he does look like the sort of guy that wouldn't be past, you know, robbing you. You don't actually think he'd, like, knife a little girl in the dark style of thing?
No. But he's the sort of type who would push you overboard.
Yeah, and certainly if you're walking around here with giant wadges of cash going, where can I find a boat all alone in the night style of thing? Disappear.
So, is it...
Oh, la la, let me speak on this Portuguese, yo.
So... Does it seem like he's the kind of guy who we could potentially pay off? Like, pay a river toll, let us pass style of thing? Or should we just stay out of his way?
Actually, you think yes, but it would actually be quite a hard resources check. Not in that producing the right amount of money, not in that producing sufficient money would be a problem. It's producing exactly enough money that he feels pay off, but doesn't think you have so much available money that it's then worth chasing you down and robbing you. So it's the resources check is hard because you've got to get that exact right amount, not get a, which is represented by a penalty to resources, obviously. Because too little and he's going to be insulted. Far too little he's going to be insulted. Too little and he's going to try and see if he can. He's not going to help you. He's going to see if he can hold you up for more. Too much, and he's going to try and rob you.
Yeah.
So, what time of night is it at the moment?
This is probably
like dinner time, or
yeah. This town goes for a while, so it's probably 8 p.m.
Okay.
Style of thing.
So, well, I have to go now. I have to go get dinner. But if you see Mr. Fogg, do talk to him. He's a British lord.
He says something to his boys in Portuguese, and they all chuckle. And he strokes his hair again. There's this, like, squelch noise.
Yeah, no, the rule is Fogg has interfered with our trip. We no longer have to be the first ones, but we're playing fair.
Yeah, well, Mara's writing off a different rule set than you.
Yeah.
She's trying to save the world.
Yeah. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the rule was we couldn't interfere with Fogg's trip until he deliberately interfered with ours, which he now has, so...
As you are buying a pile of miscellaneous supplies, you're welcome to give me a resource check on this. People can team up on it, which your only penalty to is crit fumbles are bad. And basically, you're buying an unspecified bunch of food and water and tools and stuff, which will manifest itself in terms of you get retroactive free things, essentially. Good thing we bought this knife without having to spend a hero point for it.
When I do get back to wherever we're staying,
yep.
I make sure to tell both Pete and Jonathan about Manny, just to keep an eye out for him.
Yep.
Yep, the boys, not the lady.
I'm pretty sure you could tear him apart.
How?
You know magic. You could summon crocodiles for all I know.
And you could banish him if he's a spirit.
Can you give me a quick notice check when you were there as well?
Okay, notice. Come out, Caltrop. Come on, come here. Caltrops are always the most annoying to pick up.
That's why you need
no critical failure.
Okay.
Wow, you're so innocent.
So
and
he's really greasy. He's got his awesome gold pimp chains on. That. He's got a huge, really noticeable bulge in his crotch. You stare at it. It's hard to look away. It's got that sort of roadkill fascination thing going on. Like, does he realize he looks like that? Does he deliberately go out in the morning like that?
I'd like to point out I'm 10.
Yeah. Yeah, it's less
you're
like...
You're 10, he's gay.
It's less that this is in any way sexy or even particularly disturbing. He just looks ridiculous. It looks like, you know, somebody who's actually stuck their fist down their pants and done this sort of thing. That one's going to stick with you for a while. You learn nothing useful from this whatsoever, unsurprisingly.
I got an 8 on the resources check.
Okay, so that's two pluses.
Yep. So.
Okay. I needed it.
Well, it's not. We're not going to make any kind of resource.
So it was a 2, was it?
I got a +2 to add to your roll, but you have -1.
I need another 1. I'm sorry, I'm rolling so crap.
That's okay.
You can roll an assist as well. You just need to not crit fumble.
Yeah, I imagine you're all involved in.
That boosts up to a basic success.
So you buy food, water, some miscellaneous jungle supplies. You have one free tag worth of miscellaneous jungle supplies.
Yeah. So who should write that down?
I've got it on my adventure list.
Sweet, that's fine.
Because you'll know if it comes up.
All right, we're in this village. We've got the problem of Manny before us, and it is basically 10 o'clock.
Yep.
Yeah.
We want to head for any kind of heroic conclusion, or just bad luck.
So, what's your master plan? You've got your supplies. You've got your boat. There's nothing stopping you just heading up off the river.
I think, given that bribing Manny is such a perilous enterprise, it would be best to. Now that we've had the warning about him, we might, head out under the cover of darkness that very night style of thing.
Yeah.
And try and just get away.
Going up the river at night?
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay. Can whoever's driving the boat, and much like the carriage, this will be one guy driving, one guy assisting, everyone else is getting in the way, rather than helping at that point. Well, four people all try and drive the boat.
No, I quite agree.
Do you want to drive or assist?
Because
we've now both got a D6 piloting.
Okay. I'm having assisting.
None of you can see in the dark in any way, can you? You have nothing to actually assist you.
We've got lights.
Beyond the lights.
That would show people where we are, too.
But as opposed to night vision goggles, dark sight spells.
No, I did pick those up.
Yeah.
I left them in Transylvania.
Oh.
Yes. But he's a hindrance, not a help.
That's less useful than you might think. What do you see? There's things rustling in the bushes. Are they mice? I'm going to get them. Splash.
Well, I can talk to Tom.
Yeah, the cat's a hindrance, not an animal companion.
Yeah,
you
but
can't
if
use
I,
it
if
to
I
help
use
him.
If I use magic on him, then he becomes a non-hindrance.
No.
Well, the one saying that you could talk to the passing crocodiles as we go along.
I think you could definitely use passing animals to find out stuff for us, but I don't think you can use them to navigate.
Darkness.
I don't think the spell
darkness
is quick enough.
Pitch darkness. Driving at -2 for both of you.
Okay.
Piloting or whatever it is. Piloting.
So I'm making the check. Jonathan's rolling an assist, which he fails. That does not crit fumble.
Watch out for that tree.
Yeah.
Alright, that is nearly a success. So now it's a success.
Yay. We're spending a lot of fate points getting there.
Yeah, it's fine, because it's not like there's going to be another session after this one.
Okay, and so that is... So you slip out of the cover of
darkness. I really didn't want to ram the boat into something in the dark, though.
You sink it. Yeah. You are...
Given it's inflatable.
You're expecting to basically take a couple of days to get up the river here.
Yeah.
And so you cruise on through the night, people sleeping and shifts on off the boat style of thing. Morning dawns uneventfully, and it is about probably 11 o'clock in the day when you hear... you are cruising down one river... and what you have noticed, Pete, is you're having no trouble navigating it at this point, but the river branches off into repeated multiple branches style thing. You know the one you're supposed to be taking, but it means there's lots of side adjacent parallel rivers and things. And across from some trees on another parallel river, you see a couple of boats coming after you, almost. And you hear this big, loud, shouting voice after you, "Olale! Senor, senorita, I told you no one leaves Rota Riviera without going through Mani." Oh! And well behind you, there are a bunch of these seedy-looking pirates in their rubber boats, endeavouring to sort of wave you down. And at the front of Mani's boat, he appears to have a machine gun.
Okay.
Which he begins to pull the trigger, and of course it goes and stitches the water behind you.
Yeah.
And thus begins a problem, of which you are at a substantial advantage when you start because of your successful escape, essentially.
Yay!
We must escape and protect Beat's virtue.
But we will go into the specifics of that.
I'm so glad it's not my virtue for once.
Yeah, so I imagine it is a nice change. Well,
he is brawny. And we will leave that there.
That's
when
a plus.
The strange expedition has been chased down the Amazon River by a gay pirate.